using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
It's Monday, the 20th of September, year of our Lord, 2021, day 555 of America Held Hostage, of the world finding new worldwide orders. Who would have thought that it could go on this long? And there are signs that people have had enough. Now, we've got a lot of reports as to what's been happening. Around the world, we had thousands of people pushing back on this tyranny, especially in Australia. And so we're going to show that to you. Usually, a smart news organization would lead with what bleeds. We're going to do that number two. First, we're going to come in with what is happening in terms of the mandates and ways that you can fight against the mandates. And then we'll get to the violence. So stay tuned. We'll get to that. We'll be right back. Yes, we've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Fed insurrection. As the Babylon Bee correctly pointed out, it was an FBI rally. That's really what that was in Washington. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about technocratic serfdom. We'll talk about the Great Resistance. But first, let's talk about these Trump shots. And folks, as we face this literal persecution that is coming out, and somebody writing me talking about Job and his patience, I think we're going to be spelling that P-A-T-I-E-N-T-S. We are the patience of Job. We're going to need to have patience of the other type to get through this. And let's begin by correcting something that I said on Friday. I had several people write me about that article that was being pushed around, especially by mainstream media, by Drudge Report, talking about a particular hospital that was saying, well, you don't want to get this medication because you're concerned about fetal connections to the drugs in terms of development and testing. And, well, here's 30 other drugs or whatever, right? They go through a list. And over the weekend, LifeSite News also came out with an update to that and showed the origins of that. There were a very progressive, woke priest who has made it his mission in life to push the vaccine. Yeah, we're starting to see things like that. Really, really weird. You know, it's kind of like Todd Friel making it his mission in life to produce servile obedience to anything and everything that the government tells you to say in the name of obeying God. Well, that's not true. And neither is it true that you need to get a vaccine to love your neighbor. No, if you want to love your neighbor, you protect them from this. The medical consequences of this, as well as the moral consequences of this. And you protect their rights and your rights, the rights of your children, the rights of your grandchildren at the same time. But let's talk about this lie that, again, I pass it on in a way. I said, well, even if that's true, we didn't know about that, so we'll just not take that. And so they were saying that's one of the problems. A lot of people now said, well, we're not going to take a lot of over-the-counter medications. It turns out to be a bold-faced lie, another piece of propaganda. And as it's been said, a lie can make its way around the planet before the truth can get its pants on. Can you please fix the misinformation you passed on inadvertently in today's show as soon as possible? I run into a church that passed on this misinformation a few weeks ago, and many of them got the vaccine and are now sick. So, yeah, here's the correction, and here is the what's really going on with this. This person says, also, please talk about Regeneron, and I will. I'll do that. Haven't talked about that yet. Said, this is important as many conservatives are pushing this alternative now, including Alex Jones, according to the articles, is being pushed by Rand Paul. Rand Paul actually did like an Ask Your Doctor type of commercial. I'm going to play for you that, play that for you in just a second. But I want to first get to this lie about all these common medications, Tylenol, aspirin, and all these other things. I really should have caught this for two reasons. Number one, I even joked about the fact that it was X-Lax. And then over the weekend, I thought, X-Lax? There's a, a longstanding family joke about X-Lax that goes back to when my dad was a child in the 1920s. So I know that it was around in the 1920s and being used on a regular basis. The joke, in case you're wondering, is we had my junior high school principal lived across the street from us, and it turned out that he and my dad had been friends together in elementary school. And, you know, it was actually, it was the late 20s when things were just starting to get bad with the Great Depression. And the guy who later became my junior high school principal, there was some X-Lax that had gone bad. It was past the expiration date, and they had to throw it away. They threw it away, and he saw it there, and it, thought it was chocolate. So, oh, it's okay to be, yeah, I don't get, chocolate was a real luxury at the time. And I guess it changed his opinion about chocolate. But anyway, that was back in the 1920s when they were kids. And, you know, late 20s. And so I should have known better than that. I should have also guessed from the fact that it's only one hospital that's doing this. And if this was something that was legitimate, you could see this everywhere. Not just one hospital in Arkansas pulling up this and using it against people. So for those two reasons, I apologize. I should have caught on to the lie sooner. Hospital system makes workers vow to give up antibiotics and Tylenol in order to get a COVID vaccine exemption. And as LifeSite News pointed out, it's an Arkansas hospital. This is the basis for several news articles about that one hospital, the only one doing this. And, of course, Drudge picked it up, pushed it out. Conway Regional Health System announced a COVID vaccine mandate for staff in July. About 5% have requested either religious or medical exemptions, according to the CEO. Conway Regional has introduced a new religious attestation form, which requires unvaccinated workers seeking religious exemptions to swear off common medications or risk losing their job. And the list of medications that are common include things like aspirin, Tylenol, ibuprofen, Benadryl, Tums, azithromycin, Pepto-Bismol, X-Lax, a lot of different things. Many of the drugs, now here's where the correction comes. LifeSite News points out, many of the drugs listed by Conway Regional, however, were actually developed decades ago before the advent of aborted fetal cell lines in 1970s. Aspirin, for example, was discovered in 1853 and began circulating in the United States in 1899, about the same time as Pepto-Bismol. Tylenol, Tums, acetaminophen, and Benadryl also predate widespread use of fetal cell lines to test medicines by decades. Now, one of the articles that was sent to me by a listener was from Dr. Brian Kopp. It was picked up by creativeminorityreport.com, in case you want to get to this, because I don't think we've seen the last of this lie. This lie saying, well, okay, then you're not going to have any medication, because all medication, including aspirin from the middle 1800s, is tested with fetal cells. That is a very insidious lie. Being used to deceive a lot of people, to intimidate a lot of people. Dr. Brian Kopp had a lot more information. So this article, creativeminorityreport.com. Not so fast, the very misleading article by a priest on drugs and abortion testing is the name of the, is the title of that, in case you want to look that up. I have people ask me all the time, can you give me that article, such and such, because, and this is an article that you, again, will want to keep as a reference, because you're going to see this over and over again. This is going to keep coming back. The article was by Progressive Patheos Legionnaires of Christ priest, a Matthew Snyder. It was deliberately intended to confuse or mock conservative and orthodox pro-life individuals like Bishop Snyder and others. who opposed vaccines, COVID vaccines, based on their development with or their use of fetal stem cells in their testing. And that article was, if any drug tested on HEK293, that's one of the fetal cell lines, is immoral, then goodbye to modern medicine. For years, the church has generally encouraged vaccines while noting issues of certain ones grown on fetal cell lines. But then talking about how, well, they're all contaminated. The author simply searched over the counter or prescription medication name plus HEK293. And if they came up positively associated in any medical or scientific literature, he claimed that they, too, were ethically tainted. And all U.S. pro-lifers had to abandon the use of those drugs if we were going to oppose fetal stem cell-tainted COVID vaccines on those grounds. But again, it's a difference between somebody at some point in time running after something had been used for 150 years, somebody like aspirin, somebody running a test somewhere using one of these fetal cell lines to test aspirin. It was not developed based on that. Whatever somebody wants to do with that, it doesn't taint it any more than it taints the use of scalpels if you cut out a living baby's heart, which they do. I've got the clip of that coming up for you, not showing that, but the admission being done by one of the providers of these parts to the FDA. I have a clip of the person talking about that. Anyway, going back to the article, this priest with an agenda and his search engine failed to distinguish between those that were tested on, developed with, and or manufactured with fetal cells before or during their initial introduction. He failed to distinguish between that and those for academic reasons years later were tested on fetal stem cell lines. For instance, he named multiple over-the-counter as well as prescription drugs that were developed well before 1960. Fetal stem cells were not initially isolated until even 1963, and they weren't utilized in drug testing and manufacturing until years later. Just because some academic or researcher somewhere subsequently did tests on that drug utilizing fetal stem cells, it does not mean that those drugs were ethically tainted in their origin or in their subsequent manufacture or testing. He said, good, decent people took this article at face value. And number one, wrongly went on a crusade against all drugs that were named. Or number two, used his article to justify having recourse to the ethically tainted COVID vaccines. So saying, well, okay, if my choice is to give up all medicines or to, you know, take the vaccine and keep taking these medicines, that'll inform my choice. So here's some of the examples, specific ones. Tylenol, also known as paracetamol or acetaminophen, was discovered in the 1870s, first marketed in the U.S. in 1950. Remember, we're talking about these dates. Fetal stem cell lines were not isolated until 1963. It wasn't even possible that these things could be used for the development and creation of these products. Ibuprofen's discovery was a result of research during the 1950s and 60s. To find a safer alternative to aspirin, a patent application was filed in 1961, 2 years before the first fetal cell line was even isolated. Pseudoephrine, ephedrine, was first characterized by German scientists in 1889. Diphenhydramine was discovered in 1943, first marketed in 1946. Dextromethorphan was successfully tested in 1954, marketed in 1958. Tums was entered into production in 1930. Maalox was first marketed in 1949. Sodium docusate was patented in 1937. For the treatment of constipation, it was first proposed in 1955. I think that was a component in the famous Exlax ingredient. Pepto-Bismol, bismuth salts, were in use in Europe by the late 1700s. They were first sold directly to physicians, and it was marketed as Bimasol in 1918. So then they just changed it to Pepto-Bismol. So at least, as I go through this whole list, I won't go through all of them, at least 13 out of the 17 over-the-counter drugs this guy listed in this false article being used by an Arkansas hospital, being used by mainstream media to lie and to deceive people about the origins of many of these common medicines. at least 13 out of 17 were not possible to have even been used. They were developed long before any fetal cell lines were even isolated. And that doesn't mean that the other four depended on fetal cell lines in order to develop them. It's just that 13 out of 17, it was chronologically impossible for that to be true. So the other aspect, and the other thing that, that one of these listeners that mentioned, is Regeneron. And that has now become a very popular thing. It's being sold by everybody because it's now, this is a, the Republican thing to do. We got DeSantis pushing this on people in Florida. We have Biden. There's a lot of articles that you'll see at Breitbart and other places saying, look at this, Biden is at war with the unvaccinated. He's going to withhold Regeneron from them, and people are going to die. Never forget that you have a lot of conservative media that wants to toe the line for big pharmaceutical companies. Even if they don't get direct money from the big pharmaceutical companies, they want to toe the line for them. But this has now become a partisan issue. Republicans are for Regeneron, and Biden is trying to use that as a punishment for people. And then we get Rand Paul, who comes in and does an Ask Your Doctor public service announcement. He doesn't identify himself as Senator Rand Paul, but as Dr. Rand Paul. And this is like a straight-up Fox News commercial, except it doesn't have the disclaimer of somebody rapidly reading out all of the deleterious, dangerous side effects of this drug while you have slow-motion pictures of children running through the fields. That's typically what you see on a regular Ask Your Doctor commercial. Here's Rand Paul, a little bit of what he had to say.
This is Dr. Rand Paul with the public service announcement about monoclonal antibodies. I want to make sure you know about this potentially life-saving treatment. If you're infected with COVID-19 virus and begin to have a bronchitis-like cough, but you're not sick enough to be in the hospital yet, but you're continuing to get sicker, you should ask your doctor about receiving a monoclonal antibody treatment.
Again, why is this so important? You know, Rand Paul's wife invested in Gilead as a play on Remdesivir. Just so you know. But why is this important? If you've got a cough, you've got some early symptoms, for over a year and a half, we've known about the use of hydroxychloroquine and zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C and a lot of other effective treatments that do not require you to go to a doctor. I mean, you could do intravenous vitamin C. At the very beginning of this in China, in Wuhan, we had 9 people were given stem cell treatment. And as we were being told, everybody is dying and they're falling in the streets and everything, all 9 of them who were at very advanced stages of the disease, not only recovered, but the stem cell treatment fixed the damage to their lungs. But of course, that was not going to be allowed by the FDA. And it was their own stem cells, by the way. So, you know, we look at all of this stuff, and you have to ask yourself what the agenda is. And I have to ask myself, what is Rand Paul's agenda? He goes to war with Fauci. Is it because Fauci didn't cut him in on the Gilead play early enough? Come on, give me a break. Why is the Republican Party, why are many in the Republican press, and I include InfoWars in that, they become shamelessly partisan cheerleaders for Republicans. Just disgusting to see what it's become. Why is the Republican press cheering this on? So, it is not the only lifeline that you have. We've got a lot of safe and effective things out there. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. If they want to go to war with Biden for withholding something, they should go to war with him for withholding hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, making it difficult to get it in the medication form, the pill form, for humans, and then mocking people about taking horse paste. Give me a break. You're forcing people into doing this. This is like FDR. Well, actually, FDR ended alcohol prohibition. But during alcohol prohibition, he brought in gold prohibition. It's socialism. But during alcohol prohibition, it'd be like the government mocking people who are making bathtub gin because they're alcoholics or just stupid, and then going blind, which, by the way, nobody's gone blind or gotten seriously ill from the horse paste, because if anyone in the world had, you better believe that it would be at the top of the Drudge Report with a red flashing light on there, you know. Joe Blow dies from ivermectin or whatever, horse paste. They would feature that for an entire news cycle of 2 or 3 days. So that hasn't happened. But if you go back to alcohol prohibition, if somebody made bathtub gin, went blind, got very sick or died, whatever, then to blame that on somebody else instead of blaming it on prohibition, right? When you can get safe, effective products instead of having the companies, instead of giving a monopoly to organized crime and letting them shoot it out on the streets. Because, again, that issue is a spiritual issue. And I don't think that the government has either the authority or the power to help us in that area. And when Christians turn it over to them, that is a problem for us. Does Regeneron monoclonal antibody treatment use aborted baby cells? Now, this is another issue besides the efficacy and the profits. The profits. Get an early, somebody look and see if Kelly Paul has invested in the company that makes Regeneron. Regeneron claims that they do not have aborted baby cells, but they do have a history of lying about the use of the HEK293 stem cell line. They also lie about using aborted baby organs to humanize their mice. And what it turns out is that the company runs Regeneron has several of their, in a 2017 study, authored in part by 4 Regeneron scientists. One of them, the chief scientist and president of Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, he brags about a novel humanized mouse model with significant improvement of class-switched antigen-specific antibody production. So just understand, and we have a collection of tweets going back more than a year ago, people talking about Regeneron and humanized mice. Humanized mice, is this a gateway to the brave new world? Trump hailed the scientific breakthrough that produced his miracle cure as a blessing from God. Is transhumanism a blessing from God? Well, I mean, Trump said so, and Trump is, leading some kind of phony baloney prayer service for evangelicals. You're going to look to this guy as a spiritual leader? How clueless can you be? I mean, come on. The Regeneron therapy given to the president was made in Veloc immune humanized mice. And if you think that this is not an issue, this is a bigger issue, folks, than the fetal cell lines. It is a much bigger issue. It involves the use of abortion. It involves current research that is ongoing. And this kind of cannibalism is happening right now. This is not even something that happened 60 years ago that they're propagating through. I think that's an issue. But this is cannibalism, and cannibalism used for transhumanism. Humanized mice for testing. So both of these things are in play, and this is currently ongoing. This series of tweets from person on Lila Rose and another person who collected a series of tweets going back a year ago. They said, notorious fetal experimenter Dr. Eugene Gu. That's right. Can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is like something out of Pilgrim's Progress. Dr. Gu. It's spelled G-U instead of G-O-O. Dr. Gu was correct in his initial assessment of Regeneron's magic mouse cocktail, which miraculously cured Trump of his COVID affliction, or so we're told. By the way, last week I read you an article that had to do with some of the testimony of Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, the Jewish doctor in New York, in a small town there, who was the one who first looked at the use of hydroxychloroquine combined with zinc. That's the key thing, combined with zinc. Everybody talks about hydroxychloroquine, but he pointed out that he put those two things together because the HCQ or ivermectin or even something like quercetin, those types of drugs are called ionophores. And what they do is they open up the cell. They allow the zinc to get into the cells and to be absorbed. So it has to do using those things. They're merely agents for the absorption of the zinc. They're not anything in particular great themselves. That's why a lot of people say, "Well, how do you use an antiviral, or you know, how do you use this this thing for parasites?" Does that make any sense? Well, because what it does is it helps the zinc to be absorbed. So he understood that. And so as he gave testimony in Israel, because he's Jewish, he's trying to tell them to stop doing what they're doing to the Israeli people there. Mass vaccination program, using the people as lab rats for Pfizer. He said, I've consulted with Bolsonaro and many other people. I have treated Trump, and I've treated Giuliani. So I trust Zelenko. I mean, he has held the line on this when it would have been to his advantage to just play along, as most of the medical field has, to keep his head down, to do it on the, you know, undercover if he's going to do it all, or just to go along with the horrific transformation of our medical healthcare system. But he didn't do any of that. He spoke out, and he paid a penalty for that. So if he's going to tell you that he treated Trump and he treated Giuliani, I believe him. He's a man of integrity. He's paid the price. And but, you know, they'll tell you that Trump was saved because of Regeneron, or Trump was saved by Remdesivir. Depends on which current drug they're trying to sell you. Oh, yeah, I took all that stuff. So Dr. Gu says this. He said last year, he said, humanized mice with humanized immune systems were first made possible by transplanting human fetal bone marrow, livers, and thymus obtained from abortions into immunocompromised mice. In other words, what they first do is they kill the immune system of the mice so it doesn't reject the human tissues that they're going to implant. He said, without these studies, there would be no expensive monoclonal antibody cocktail for Trump to use. He said that after Trump told everybody that his life had been saved by these pharmaceutical products. Under oath, Planned Parenthood's organ harvesting partner, ABR, said that we do dissection of babies, harvesting of organs, even while they have beating hearts. And so I want you to hear a little bit of this testimony. And, of course, this came up, interestingly enough, because the journalist who did the undercover studies, it was the corrupt Democrat politicians who are now, you know, Kamala Harris, Vice President, Javier Becerra, HHS. They were the two attorneys general of California, one after the other, who came after the person who exposed the trafficking in human parts. Instead of stopping that, they came after the whistleblower. So in this trial, this is what was said as part of the depositions.
How does a tissue procurement occur in one of these situations when the entire fetus is intact in the lab?
We do dissection.
And just to be clear, you do dissection to obtain the tissues that are on the list for the day?
We do dissection to get the tissues that the researchers have requested, yeah.
Okay. They are, I mean, they have a heartbeat, don't they, at the point they would fall out?
You know, objection. This witness isn't in the room when that happens. This witness is not a doctor. This witness is not here to testify about the medical or biological conditions of the fetus when it's eliminated from the mother.
And by not alive, do you mean that they were not moving?
Correct.
And do you mean that they did not have a heartbeat?
It would depend.
Okay. And when you say it would depend, what do you mean?
I can see hearts that are not in an intact POC that are beating independently.
Okay. So she can see hearts that are still beating after they've torn the baby apart, as the attorney for Planned Parenthood said, after the fetus is eliminated. No, after you've torn the baby apart and you pulled it out, you've dissected it. She said, I can still see the beating heart. I guess I was wrong when I said I was not going to be leading with the bleeding. Is that sensational enough for you? Yeah. Is that disgusting enough? The heart beating independently, she said. So, as to sum it up, she said, yeah, we do a dissection. And I can see the hearts that are not in an intact baby that are beating independently. This is what is used to create Regeneron. You understand? Now you know. Now you know. You're okay with Ex-Lax, Tylenol, aspirin, azithromycin, these other things. The real issue are these things that are being hawked by Republicans as the life-saving elixir that you must have. And this phony war between DeSantis and Biden as to who's going to get the Regeneron. This is about who gets to be the buddies of big pharmaceutical companies. That's what it's really about. This study, by the way, was supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the National Institutes of Health, and the National Cancer Institute. Just so that you know, there's your commercial disclaimer. Newborn mice irradiated, erafted, and engrafted, rather, with human cells purified from the baby's liver. Yeah, that's the research being done by Fauci's NIH, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the National Cancer Institute. Humanized mice, humanized with parts that were ripped out, ripped from living babies with their hearts still beating. This is worse. This is worse, even, because it's not just murdering babies that's currently going on, but it's also creating humanized mice. So, yeah, that's where we are with this. And that's the company she worked for was Advanced Biosciences Resources out of California. A religious exemption, however, is increasingly difficult to obtain. As any person with half of a conscience is horrified by what I just told you, if you want a religious exemption, there's an article on The Hill. Gail Trotter wrote an op-ed piece. It's not the usual socialist tripe that you see on The Hill. She pointed out that even before we got into this situation of vaccines and sincerely held religious and ethical beliefs, that the bureaucrats were coming after the Amish. Now, this is a situation where the bureaucrats in a particular county wanted a particular type of water purification system. And the Amish said, and I don't understand what their religious beliefs are, but they're looking more attractive as the days go by, the society that we've gotten involved in. I've never understood why they froze technology at one particular time. I don't understand the principle. But nobody doubts their sincerity, do we? I mean, it's famous. The bureaucrats that live there know how they live. As they point out in this op-ed piece, there's been many movies made about this. This is no secret. You know, from Witness, starring Harrison Ford, to Weird Al Yankovic's Amish Paradise, everybody knows that the Amish don't use machines. And so when an Amish community in Minnesota sought a religious exemption from state water control regulations, power-hungry bureaucrats denied the religious exemption, claiming that the group's religious beliefs were not sincerely held. Give me a break. You know, these bureaucrats' objections are not sincerely held. When the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency targeted some of the most traditional Amish communities for, quote, failing to comply with a water treatment mandate, it threatened to displace the Amish from their homes to move all of their possessions, and to declare their homes uninhabitable, unquote. That's the threat. We're going to take you out of your home, we're going to remove all your possessions, and we're going to declare your homes uninhabitable if you do not comply. The Amish community at the center of this fight, writes Gail Trotter, the op-ed piece. The Amish community at the center of this fight is one of the most traditional Amish groups, the Schwarzentruber Amish. The Schwarzentruber Amish don't use electricity or cars. They don't use mechanical refrigeration. They don't have running water for bathtubs or indoor flush toilets or chainsaws. They dress in heavy, plain clothes that cover down to their shoes. You'll never see a Schwarzentruber Amish riding a bicycle or even using Velcro. Now, I don't understand their religious beliefs. They're not mine. But there's no doubt that they're sincerely held. And there's no doubt that no bureaucrat, no politician, no court should set in judgment of their religious beliefs. And if you allow them to do that, you have opened up a Pandora's box. But to look at what happened with them, the Amish tried to work with the system. They offered alternatives to comply with the state water controls. But spoiler alert, it's just like the vaccine mandates. It doesn't matter when you point out to them that the CDC's own numbers and WHO show that the vaccinated have as high a viral load, if not higher, than the unvaccinated. It doesn't matter to them at all. No, you must be vaccinated. Why? Well, we say that the unvaccinated are spreading this. It's like, well, the viral load is the same with the vaccinated or the unvaccinated. Just do what I say. Just do what I say. So they said the bureaucrats responded by seeking a court order, quote, authorizing its agents to inspect the inside of Amish homes as part of an investigation into what types of modern technologies and materials they might be using. See, this is the same thing that this hospital system in Arkansas tried to do. Oh, yeah? You say you got religious objections to these vaccines? Do you have any Ex-Lax in your home? I need to be able to inspect everything in your home to see if I can find Pepto-Bismol or aspirin. And that's what they did. I want a court order to go through their house and see if I can find anything that violates their religious tenets. Wow. Wow. Should we start calling these people the religious police? We've had the COVID police now for the last year or so. Should we now have some Pharisees that are going to come through and check your home? And check your doctrine and tell you that you can't believe this or that you stand in judgment of that. The county bureaucrats did not stop there. They tried to argue that, quote, the Bible commands the Amish to submit to secular authority. Whoa, where have we heard this before? From Todd Friel, right? And many others. The Bible tells you, Romans 13, here you go. Romans 13, you do what the government says with everything. You want to put... If the government tells you to hop, skip, and jump, you hop, skip, and jump. If they tell you to put pinwheels on the side of your head, you put pinwheels on the side of your head. Shut up and obey. Kneel before the government, your Lord and Master, your new God. Of course, the Amish don't understand their own religion, and they should give in to the county's interpretation, the county bureaucrats' interpretation of what the Amish faith is. Or maybe they should just... given to Todd Friel's. The Supreme Court vacated the lower court decision and sent the case back to the lower courts for further proceedings. The Amish had requested an exemption from the county that would accomplish the goal of the regulation and yet preserve the observance of their faith. They tried to get along with these people, right? They've had to fight this now for years. And even after they won at the Supreme Court in a way, Neil Gorsuch, who decided essentially in their favor, said, no, send it back to the lower court and let them think about this again. Instead of just slamming this thing down, the Amish are going to still have to fight in court after they've been fighting for years. And to rub salt in the wound, this op-ed piece by Gail Trotter on The Hill points out that Neil Gorsuch, in his opinion, criticized the lower courts and the bureaucrats, saying that the county had made a lot of exceptions to other people about this regulation. They had made exceptions for hunters. They had made exceptions for fishermen. They would not make exceptions for the Amish with their sincerely held beliefs. And as Gail Trotter points out, she said, your freedoms may depend on a bureaucrat's discretion to decide whether your religious beliefs are sincere. And she said, just think about this last year, what we have seen. We've seen power-hungry bureaucrats do really crazy things. They can say that beer is essential. You should be able to get your beer. At the same time, they were saying, but even for Easter Sunday, you can't go to church. Yeah. So, and then also say that the Amish are not sincere in their belief. And we see this over and over again. Look at the people who have already left their jobs and their professions and their careers. And yet we're told, all right, you know, they're not sincerely held religious beliefs. These people ought to be issued an apology and be given their jobs back. But that isn't going to happen. I've talked about college football coaches, professional coaches, a lot of different places. And, of course, it's going to be a lot of people all over the place, military, police, healthcare professionals. And that's the biggest one, healthcare professionals. How in the world can we ignore not only the sincerely held religious beliefs of healthcare professionals, but also their professional judgment, having been on the front lines of this so-called pandemic for a year and a half, and then being told that in another 2 months they're going to have to get a vaccine or be fired when they've operated for a year and a half without having the vaccine. And when they, on the front lines, have treated people who have been damaged by the vaccine, and they've treated people who have the so-called pandemic, and in their judgment, they'd rather take their chances with whatever's going around than with a vaccine. But we're going to fire them. We're going to fire them. So I have another letter from another pastor giving another example of how you can write your sincerely held religious belief. It is getting pretty obvious, though, that they don't really care about sincerely held religious beliefs. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't go through the exercise. You may win. You should try everything that you can. And so, as this pastor wrote, he said, I think the same principles would apply to nasal swabs, for example, as it is also ingesting a foreign substance. You know, these nasal swabs, as I've shown, you have the cotton swabs. Look at them under a microscope, and you look at these nasal swabs. They're very different creatures, aren't they? Yeah, the cotton swab is all swirling around there, but these swabs are using for the testing. They got spikes out there. And then you can see where people have rubbed those across a piece of meat, and those spikes come off and remain embedded into that. So he leads this example letter that he's giving to people who ask him. I'm writing to request religious exemption, seeking a reasonable accommodation to my request. He begins by saying, my objection to the vaccine stems from my deeply held religious beliefs that restrain me from taking the COVID-19 vaccine. I object to the manner in which they are prepared and tested prior to being provided to the public, more specifically the use of fetal cell lines in preparation and or testing. The ethical and moral issues involved with the production and testing of the vaccines prevent me from obtaining such a vaccine. In regard to my religious confession, and you give them an idea of your beliefs, as he writes in his thing here, my religious beliefs are foundational in my life and are sincerely held. It's these beliefs that prevent me from taking the vaccine. And then he says, now this is something that is a little bit different from the letter that I gave you on Friday from the person who was in the military. In this particular one, he adds another example of this. This is why I want to read this to you. Here's how his is. This is a new something that's different in here. And he talks about conscience and faith. He says, specifically in a discussion about whether or not it is acceptable for a sincere believer to consume a particular type of food, the Apostle Paul writes, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because eating is not from faith. whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. That's Romans 14. So that's right after the Romans 13 chapter there. While Paul is referring there to food, he draws a universal principle for all cases, that everything must be done from faith. Accordingly, all that I do must come from faith and with a pure conscience. In another passage that also uses the consumption of certain food products as an example, Paul writes, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." The Apostle Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, but you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Simply put, he says, the question of injecting a vaccine into my body is a matter of faith. I cannot in good conscience receive the vaccine, as it will not be from faith. And I cannot do this to the glory of God. Consequently, I am requesting a religious exemption from this. And he says, "I trust my request, which is both reasonable and which stems from deeply held religious beliefs, will be granted." That's why I said at the beginning of the broadcast, or beginning of this section, we are now going to be learning the patience of Job and what we are going to be suffering. You can spell that as medical patience, P-A-T-I-E-N-T-S. But, you know, Job was afflicted for a while, not for anything that he had done, but for his experience, his learning experiences, but also primarily for God's greater purpose and a lot of different reasons, and for God's glory. We don't know what is going to happen with these religious objections. Sincerely held religious beliefs in America are now mocked, ridiculed, and thrown in the trash, for the most part. It's still worth going through this. You should exhaust all of the options available to you. But this is where we are. And it is going to be a time of testing and trial, and it's going to require the other kind of patience as well. Another listener writes to me, says he is working for a EMS provider in America, GMR. They pride themselves on being one of the largest EMS, emergency medical care providers in America. I said, when the mandate comes, the company will lose many of its 38,000 employees across America. Just like the nurses, we see what the genetic jab is doing to people. So he said, isn't it interesting that they're putting this into effect during the cold flu season, when things will be, respiratory illnesses will be picking up? He said, why else would you wait 1 to 2 months? And of course, it is also coincidental, isn't it, that they began all of this mass unemployment push after they removed the extended unemployment benefits. No stimulus check is talked about. As a matter of fact, you know, they're doing everything they can to keep you from collecting regular unemployment with this. Everything is stacked. Everything is highly coordinated. It's like a conspiracy, because it is. And so this is what the company sent out. They said, the purpose of this message is to share what GMR knows and understands about the September 9th announcements from President Biden on vaccine mandates. Because we'll be required to follow federal mandates, we do want to share what we know, so our operations groups and individual team members can prepare appropriately. We'll have to wait and see exactly how it operates. But, you know, Biden said to do it. Javier Becerra said to do it. We got money that we can make if we do it, even if it means all of you are going to be going. And so they're very passive-aggressive with this, couching this all in, we have to do what Biden and Javier Becerra, the guy who took the lead after Kamala Harris went to the Senate, took the lead on persecuting the people who exposed this heinous trafficking in baby parts, selling the stuff to the FDA. Advice for parents concerning about the vaccination of their healthy children. This is in the UK, but of course it is coming everywhere. It's coming in Australia and the UK. They have announced that the schools are going to vaccinate the kids with or without the consent, with or without the knowledge of their parents. And so this is coming from the UK, dailyskeptic.org. The way this looks in the US, if you look at New York, what they're doing is putting pressure on the kids So they'll put pressure on their parents, and also putting pressure on the parents by saying, you're not going to participate in any sports, any extracurricular activities, chorus, band, drama club, nothing. You know, probably not even chess club. You know, because you're sitting there, you're not 3 feet apart, you know, when you're doing the chess thing. I can see it becoming a minefield, said one teacher at a school in Yorkshire. So what do you do in the UK? You know, here's a worst-case scenario for right now. They're coming in and saying, we don't care what the parents want. We're going to do this to kids as young as 12. We're going to say, in our determination, they're mature minors. And so they say, well, you might want to talk to the schools. This is a teacher that they talked to. He said, yeah, they're sending out parental consent forms, but it's a mere formality. So they're not going to pay any attention to them. They're going to deem whether the students are competent, and the students are going to be deemed competent by some public health officials who are going to be there, who don't know these kids. They don't know the kids. And this is even more absurd than if the teachers, who had some knowledge of these kids, were to make that determination. These are going to be people brought in from outside. They've never seen these kids before. There's no way that they can know anything about the competency or the maturity of these 12-year-olds. They don't know them at all. But they're going to say, well, no, I think they can, they're mature enough to do this. There is no information being given to adults that would be sufficient for informed consent. You better believe they're not going to give sufficient information to the kids, but they are not mature enough to consent. So this teacher is saying one of the ways that you may want to play this out, he said that the school principals are basically washing their hands of this and saying, it's not my decision. This is being done by the public health people. We're simply a facility where they're going to be doing this, but it's not us. And says, well, actually it is them. And it's been made pretty clear. So probably the best way to start is, given the schools have been, is to rule out protesting. Given that schools have been told to call the police if anti-vaxxers plan demonstrations outside their gates. I think that it is always important for us to speak out, to stand up, and we're going to talk about people who did that, who resisted this over the weekend, all around the world. That's coming up next. But also understand, just as I said about this FBI rally that happened in Washington on Saturday, I said, understand that a lot of this stuff is a trap. You don't want to take the bait. And we don't live in a free society anymore. We don't live in a society anywhere. There's not any society anymore where individual liberty and the rule of law is established. And so when you do these types of demonstrations and public speeches and so forth, you should do it in a way that if these people attack you, they're clearly seen as the aggressors. And we have some video footage of that coming from Australia. That's the way that you need to do these protests, is to be wise about this. But he says, you can't be arrested for telling your local head teacher, either in a letter or in a meeting, that you disagree with your child being vaccinated without your consent. A Yorkshire teacher that they talked to in this article mentioned that he gets the impression that his school will do all that it can to wash its hands of responsibility on this matter. Did that work for Pontius Pilate? I don't think so. Preferring to say the important decisions will be made by health professionals who use the school site. The school would, in this case, be wrong to say that they have no liability for this. Lawyers for Liberty, LFL, a group in the UK of nonpartisan lawyers, made this point quite clear in its recent letter to the heads of regulatory bodies concerned with the protection of children and safety in schools. If schools are intended to be the ultimate setting for the child vaccination program, then school leaders will be deemed to have approved the vaccination against the advice of the JCVI. That's the UK group focused on the vaccines. This has a variety of potential legal ramifications for school staff. You have liability. You can be sued. Certainly many are concerned that there may be a serious safeguarding concern that would not align with the legal duties of schools as outlined in the Department of Education's document, Keeping Children Safe in Education. So in other words, there will be responsibility for the school. Given the likelihood that schools would sooner wash their hands of responsibility on this tricky and confusing matter than face an array of expensive legal challenges, simply presenting an objection to them personally or through a letter, and that LFL, if you're in the UK, they have a form letter about this. So if you give them the letter or you tell them personally, the head of your child's school with the above information, it could be enough to prevent your child from being vaccinated without your consent. I would suggest, because we had Catherine Austin Fitz months ago put together a lot of this stuff to preemptively notify schools, employers, and others, you will be held liable for any injuries. I do not consent. I do not consent to my children being vaccinated. And she suggested at the time, and so this is good. This advice is good. But I would do one more thing. I would send them a letter, and I don't know what the mail situation is in the UK, but in the US, you can send it a certified letter where they have to sign that they have received it. You do that for legal documents. If you send them a letter saying, I do not consent to this, understand it is my opinion and it is the opinion of a legal group that you can have personal liability for vaccinating my child against my consent. And you send that to them as a legal notification certified. That is pretty good. Best thing you could do is just get them out of school. But I don't know that homeschooling is even an option in the UK. White House is now debating vaccine mandates for all travel, of course. I pointed that out last week. You know, here we are 555 days into this two-week flatten the curve thing. Just understand that at the beginning of this, 555 days ago, Fauci, who's now saying, I think we need to have vaccines mandated for any and all air travel, even within the United States. 555 days ago, he was criticizing stopping people from coming into this country. And, of course, there were no vaccines, there were no masks, there were no tests at that time. But he didn't want people stopped coming into the country. Now he doesn't want anybody flying in the country unless they got a vaccine. And we know that the so-called pandemic has not gotten worse. I talked about the conservative Republican press and how these partisan lines are being drawn. You know, the Republicans want to say, well, we love the vaccine. We love what Trump did, but we don't want it mandated to anybody. The Democrats are saying, we love the Trump vaccine too, and we want you all to be forced to take it. And then you have everybody loving big pharmaceutical companies, Republican and Democrat press, Republican and Democrat politicians. But then, you know, they're going to use it as a weapon, you know, for and against. Well, you know, if you don't do what I say, I'm not going to give you the latest expensive, dangerous, unethical pharmaceutical product, Regeneron. This is the way this thing is breaking down. And so I saw this and I just absolutely couldn't believe it. It gets worse all the time. Breitbart, Reason Magazine, InfoWars have been cheering this along based on partisan issues. That's why I said last year, all these people said, you're criticizing Trump. You better stop criticizing Trump. I get these letters from listeners. You better not criticize Trump. You might wind up getting Biden, and then he's going to mandate it. You know, we talk about the vaccine mandates. They're still corporate coercion, you understand, right? They're still corporate coercion. Biden is less dangerous than Trump would have been. And let me tell you why. Trump would have done it in a more subtle way, but it still would have been corporate coercion. These vaccine mandates that are rolling out right now from Biden are not mandates. I said from the beginning, of course, he will mandate it through the military. Of course, he will mandate it for federal employees unless their unions fight back. And, of course, their unions are not fighting back. I'm telling you that Trump and Trump's staff would have done the same thing for the federal employees and for the military. Regardless, when it comes to all the corporations and these mandates that are rolling out now through corporate coercion, how are they being coerced? They're being coerced because of fines, but they would have been coerced because of contracts and other issues. They would have found a way to do it more subtly with Trump. And I say that even though Biden is doing it directly, people see what he's doing, number one. Number two, you have the Republicans. Now it's safe for them to oppose it. So we have Republican opposition. Why? Because Biden is doing it. They would not have opposed corporate coercion if it was done by Trump. And if it was done subtly, the Republican base would not have known what was going on, and the Republican politicians would not have opposed it. And so where are we now? We now have Breitbart, which has been a big, big cheerleader of the vaccines, that is the thing that Trump accomplished, the vaccines. Trump is very proud of that. And Breitbart, just like Mark Levin so many others, have come out in support of that. Say, well, you know, Trump's just not getting credit for it. This is great. He did it, and they're cheering that. And so Breitbart has been doing that. Nolte has been cheering the vaccines. And I saw this article from Nolte, who's one of the op-ed writers at Breitbart. He says, anti-vaxxers hype the transmission numbers as proof that the vaccines don't work. And he, in this article, talks about ATVs. What is an ATV? It's not an all-terrain vehicle. In his lexicon, it is the anti-Trump vaccine people. See, I'm criticized by a lot of people. Stop calling it the Trump shot. He's not president anymore. Stop blaming him for what happened here. When you got people like Nolte at Breitbart bending over backwards calling it the Trump vaccine, I call it the Trump shot because it's not a vaccine. It's the same thing. And he is out there demonizing people. Anybody who is anti, he's in his little world, you got two things. You got the China virus. That's what he refers to it in this article. You have on the one hand, you got the China virus. And on the other hand, you got the people, you got the Trump vaccine. He even sums it up. He says, as a colleague of mine said, why are you willing to take a risk with a virus made in China and not with a vaccine made in America at the direction of President Trump? Well, because President Trump's contribution was to skip the testing. President Trump's contribution was to browbeat and threaten the FDA to give an emergency use authorization, or you're going to be fired. That's his contribution. He's not a scientist. He doesn't know which end of the hypodermic needle goes in or where it goes. But, you know, when you want to talk about the virus being made in China, you're excusing the bioweapon programs of America, right? You want to personalize it. You want to politicize it. You want to make it about Fauci. You want to make it about the Democrats. But you don't want to stop what has actually been going on under Republicans and Democrats for decades. This Operation Paperclip stuff. The common thread in all this stuff is Fauci, Gates, the World Health Organization, the CDC. But conservatives, no matter how bad, and I pointed this out on Friday, I said, you know, the thing that is killing us right now is the fact that conservatives, in many cases Christians, because Christians typically are conservative and middle class, the conservative middle class of America, even as they see their failed institutions, they cannot alter or abolish them. They cannot, they think they can alter it, and they certainly would never abolish them. You see all these angry parents about what's being done to their kids, but they'd never even take their kids out of those institutions. Because, you know, as a conservative, you love your institutions, right? And you obey everything the government tells you to do as a Christian, right? Pathetic depths of vaccine shilling to which Breitbart News and Nick and Nolte have sunk is what I tweeted that out. He blames the anti-Trump vaccine people for the hesitancy. I said maybe people have been reading VAERS. Maybe they're not into this whole Jonestown thing, injecting Kool-Aid just because Trump says so, or because the Republican Party says so, or because you've got Republican politicians who are making money off of Gilead and Regeneron products. We should just do what they say, right? Don't think for yourself. Don't use something that is has a profile that has been a safety profile that's been understood for 60 years, that's been used by humans for 60 years. Don't use that. No. Buy this new, untested stuff. New and improved with transhumanist mice and baby parts. Fresh, not frozen, straight from Planned Parenthood. That's what you want to have. That's what the Republicans want you to have. That's what the establishment Republicans, including Rand Paul, want you to have. And so in this op-ed piece, Nolte says, well, here are my beliefs. And he lists them in bullet points. And he's got seven of them. I won't read you all of them because they're not really important. They're childish, really. The first and the last one, the Trump vaccine is a miracle and a lifesaver. That's his first and last one. In between, he says vaccine mandates are fascists, right? Oh, no. But corporate coercion, that's okay. Problem is, A merger of corporations and government is fascism defined economically. But of course, if it's a mandate of corporate coercion, that's the difference between the two. That's how little difference there is between the Democrats and Republicans. So corporate coercion would be okay if it was not in the form of an explicitly stated mandate. You understand? That's the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. He says his next principle is that Fauci is a lying, narcissistic a-hole. See how erudite this guy is. This is Breitbart, Nolte. Masks are stupid. The media and Democrats are demonizing the unvaccinated. And then again, the Trump vaccine is a miracle and a lifesaver. And then he thinks that what is happening is the cynical people on, this is his conspiracy theory, the organized left is deliberately putting unvaccinated Trump supporters in an impossible position where they can either not get a life-saving vaccine or they can feel like cucks, caving to the ugliest, smuggest bullies in the world. Are you kidding me? This is the worldview of Nolte at Breitbart and Breitbart in general. The fact that, you know, you're putting these Trump supporters, these poor Trump supporters, they either have to be embarrassed because, you know, they're not supposed to take these vaccines and, you know, or they can just cave to these bullies, these anti-Trump vaccine people. The left is not an anti-Trump. The problem with his whole thinking here is that the left is not anti-Trump vaccine. They've completely bought into it. They did an immediate 180, just like the conservatives did immediate 180 when the keys to the White House changed possession. But let me tell you, this is a worldview coming from Nolte and from Breitbart that is completely divorced from moral and ethical considerations, from scientific considerations. This is as if we hadn't had tens of thousands of people in the U.S. alone reported dead. More than 500,000 injured in the VAERS reports, and a large number of those severely injured. He says, I sincerely believe the organized left is doing everything in its power to convince Trump supporters not to get the life-saving Trump vaccine. That's his conspiracy theory. The left is passively, no matter how much they demand that you get the vaccine, they really don't want you to get the vaccine, or they want you to bow to them somehow. So you have, on the one hand, the ATVs, the anti-Trump vaccine people, and then the China flu. This is his binary thinking. This is his left versus right, his partisan stuff. You either take the Trump shot, and he even says Israel's almost fully vaccinated, and look at all their cases. And says, so what? Who gives an F about any of that? This guy is really angry. I mean, I've read Nolte's stuff before, and he doesn't usually use profanity. Maybe this is a new thing. Maybe he figures out that, you know, Paul Joseph Watson can do this to get views, so maybe I should do that, right? So he repeatedly, you know, uses that kind of language, but because he doesn't have anything to say, quite frankly. He's become a pathetic partisan cheerleader, and this is what we've seen across the press. It's not just the censorship. It is the partisanship that has eviscerated any rational discussion to look at any of this stuff. He points out that cases are a meaningless number. True. However, he says the only numbers I care about are hospitalizations and death. Well, if he, as a writer, wanted to take on the responsibility to do a little bit of research so he'd know what he's talking about, he would see what happened, for example, in Vietnam, where for a year nobody died. Until they started the vaccines, and they started getting several hundred deaths a day as soon as they started the vaccine shots. Nothing to see here, not for Nolte at Breitbart, right? We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what happened and the pushbacks. Because, you know, not everybody is listening to the left-right siren songs that are throwing us into the rocks. Some people see what's going on here. And we had some people in Australia, as well as New York and other places, who are pushing back on this over the weekend. We'll be right back. common man. They created common core to dumb down our children. They created common pass to track and control us. Their commons project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
All right, I want to take a look at what happened in Australia. Before I get to Australia, just a real quick clip. I want you to see the fear and the insanity. This is a clip that was shared on social media. A guy who has his mask off on an airplane and he's temporarily eating something. And then setting a couple of seats over is a woman who is completely masked up and has a face shield and all the rest of this stuff. And she's trying to hit him. Because he doesn't have his mask on. And he says, get out of here. Leave me alone, you know. And she turns around and huddles with her back to him and occasionally looks at him and then goes, this is, if you look at this person here. Here's the, look at her. Look at her. No, watch what she says. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. She's trying to smack the food out of his hand. Now, look, she's going to huddle. She faces, you know, the window of the airplane and to try to get away from it. Lady, you're on an airplane. You're not getting away from this. She is freaking out. You look at that woman, and if you'd seen her more than 555 days ago, or even 555 days ago, this all began with Trump's executive order. He's looking at it, it's like, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. You see somebody like that, you would say that person has...
Turn your back away. That's right. Leave me alone.
Turn your back away. Leave me alone. If you saw somebody like that, you would say they have severe psychological issues.
Weirdos.
Somebody like that, you would expect to see. Look at that. Look at the fear. She's jerking around. She's grasping the window of the airplane. And this kind of fear and paranoia, this is over-the-top OCD. And I said that from the very beginning as I started seeing some people start to wear masks before they were mandated. And we had Mike Adams saying, you better wear the mask. Fauci's doing everybody a disservice by saying we don't need to have the mask. You better wear the mask or we're going to get the vaccine. You don't want to get the vaccine, do you? It's like, I don't want to wear the mask either. Do you understand it's not effective? Do you understand that if you're on a plane, this is like when you had smoking and non-smoking sections, right? Wherever you were on the plane, you were smoking, secondhand smoke or whatever. You could smell it. Now, if you'd put a mask on, it wasn't going to make any difference either. As long as this guy is breathing in and out with his mask, it's going to be, virus is going to be floating through the air, if you want to think of it that way. But this kind of person, this kind of irrational fear, we've had now a year of fear. The year of fear makes me think of that book, that movie, The Year of Living Dangerously. This is the year of living in fear and paranoia that we've seen. And look at what it has done, you know, to somebody like that woman. It's absolutely insane. The way that she's, you know, and that she huddles and grabs the window there. It's insane what this has become. But that's one side of the fear. That's one form of fear. A gaslighting, a paranoia, a fear of the invisible. But then there's another fear that's being pushed. And you see this predominantly in Australia. And that is the fear of brutality. the fear of the jackbooted thugs stomping on your face forever, the Orwellian fear of an authoritarian police state that is out of control. This is what it looked like in Australia over the weekend. In slow motion. Slow motion tyranny. Look at that army. Army of cops. Maybe we need to think about defunding the police. We've got way, way too many of them, and they're doing the wrong things. Here they come, shooting people with their pepper spray, beating people, knocking people to the ground. This is the other kind of fear campaign. And it's being previewed for the world in Australia. Look at this. Uniformed thugs as a gang, jumping on people, beating them and pepper spraying them. This really is kind of thugs lining up in their uniforms, telling people, come on, come on. And here they are. This is shot from below. And you see some people just drinking water with a bicycle. They're allowed to do it. And they come up and start shoving them, pushing them, beating them. Just attacking people who are doing nothing. They're not protesters. They're just... And as they do this, watch, you'll see people from down below start throwing things at them. Unfortunately, it's nothing of any consequence. They're throwing some empty water bottles, plastic water bottles. And so for that threat of empty plastic water bottles being thrown at them, you'll see that these cops turn around and try to pepper spray the crowd below. But to no avail because the wind is blowing and it's blowing the pepper spray sideways. Ah, look at that. Idiots besides being thugs. And now this 70-year-old woman, look at this, look at these thugs pushing her to the ground, spraying her in the face while she's on the ground. Look at that. Did you ever think that you would see something like this in Australia, a country based on the principles of the Magna Carta? And our tradition of English common law. Absolutely, absolutely disgusting to see that. Look at that. First, they shove the 70-year-old woman onto the ground. Just a big, you know, the guy without the pepper spray just walks up like he's playing football. Knocks her to the ground. She's just standing there. She's not even a protester for what people are saying. Whether or not she was. That kind of aggressive, violent behavior, knocking her to the ground, and then this little punk in his uniform hovering over her and spraying her right in the face with pepper spray. How in the world do you defend that? It's not possible to defend that in a civilized nation. But listen to the way the Australian press paints the police not as the aggressors, but as the victims. In spite of the city's stay-at-home orders, see? They had orders. In spite of those orders, it had about 1,000 violent protesters overwhelming the police officers like that, right? The poor police officers, those poor victims. 2,000, it's an army of cops. They outnumbered the protesters by 2-1. They had pepper spray. They had billy clubs. They were running around beating people. I mean, these people are gang. It's a gang. It doesn't matter that they've got uniforms. You know, it's all about the... It's why you have the analogy, the emperor has no clothes. It's all about the clothes. See, I've got a white lab coat, or I've got a blue uniform. I can do anything I want to you. So, the press says, in spite of the city's stay-at-home orders, about 1,000 violent protesters overwhelmed the police officers. The majority of the protesters disobeyed the rules by refusing to wear masks to prevent the rally from going ahead in violation of public health regulations. 2,000 police officers were stationed at road checkpoints and barricades, as well as on roving patrols. This is reading like a Chinese communist newspaper or a Soviet paper. This is as ridiculous as Pravda and Izvestia or the current Chinese publications. So these 2,000 cops were overwhelmed by 1,000 protesters, right, according to them. About 235 people were arrested by the police, the majority detained or taken away for violating health orders. In other words, non-crimes, non-crimes. They're probably not even lawful orders. According to the Daily Mail, the Victoria police commander told the media on Saturday that, quote, the angry, aggressive young males. Was he talking about these angry, aggressive young males knocking a 70-year-old woman to the ground? I don't know what her condition is. Some people have written me. I can't verify. Broken hip, burns on her faces, on her face. I don't know if she has burns on her face. I don't know. I can't verify that. I don't know what it is. But that is inexcusable. So the police commander says it's angry, aggressive young males. I saw a lot of them in uniform. I also saw a lot of angry, aggressive young females in uniform, Police were forced to deploy pepper spray before arresting dozens of demonstrators amidst insults and abuses. Isn't that a shame? Yeah. Was that the justification for this? He was forced to use pepper spray on this woman who's already writhing on the ground, the 70-year-old writhing on the ground from being knocked on the ground, hitting her head, hitting her hip. She's not doing anything. So he was forced to spray her to, is that presumably to protect his honor from insults or abuses? Or is he somebody who joined the force because he likes to kick people around? Makes me think of Clockwork Orange. You know, you got that interesting story about crime punishment and free will. And as the one guy is convicted for murder, you know, you have this gang of guys that go around terrorizing people, doing home break-ins and things like that. One of them goes to jail for murder. The other two become cops. And when he's eventually released, the two cops act as if they're on the Australian police force. That's what we have now. We live in Clockwork Orange. And what is being done in Australia? That campaign of fear. We see the people on the people like this on the planes, you know, that are nagging us and telling us that we've got to get a shot. So they'll, these mentally ill people who, after a year of propaganda from the media, are so deranged, so obsessive and compulsive that they demand that we inject stuff into our bodies. On the other hand, there's the government who is intimidating everyone. This is from somebody in Australia about the Melbourne protests. Here's what this person saw. For the last week, the mainstream media has been running a scare campaign to deter people from attending. The campaign was blasting the television every day, saying that 2,000 police will be running its biggest operation in 20 years. They'll be blocking off all public transport to the city, barricading off all entry points into the area, and they will be conducting vehicle checks. Well, at the last minute, the group changed the location to Richmond, a suburb 3 miles east of the city. This caught the police off guard. People gathered in cafes and shops, and then at 12 p.m., they left the cafes and shops and flooded the streets. And the group was as big as the last time. They were marching peacefully for about 30 minutes until they got kettled by regular police as the riot squad was set up in the wrong area. That's why these people that you saw there were not wearing the full armor and the shields and all the rest of the stuff like they were medieval gladiators. The crowds escaped the kettling, the attempted kettling, by taking side streets and jumping fences. Then at the end, they were boxed in with police on either end with no side exits. Faced with arrest, the crowd made a move to push through about 20 cops, which they did fairly easily. And this is where the police deployed pepper spray at the crowd, but it didn't work. In that scuffle, the police pushed a 70-year-old lady to the ground. She slammed her head on the road. Then they pepper sprayed her in the face while she was down. She had nothing to do with the protests. And as one person tweeted out, they said, when you search for Australia on Google News, what you see is surfer fatally bitten by a shark off Australia's east coast. That's CNN. That's Yahoo News. That's all the news. All they want to talk about is a shark attack. A shark attack. Don't want to talk about what happened there. And I told you how it's being spun by the Daily Mail, by the Australian press, to make the police out as victims instead of the aggressors. I've said many times, when we talk about the shark attack, I said at the beginning of this thing, I said if we had the same rules in the media for the government for these shark attacks as we do for COVID, if you had one person attacked off the coast of L.A., they would not only close the entire California coast, they would also close the entire West Coast. They would tell everybody you can't go swimming anywhere in the Gulf of Mexico from Texas to Florida. And then they would say, and also off limits on the entire eastern seaboard from Florida to Maine. That's what we've seen. And so it doesn't surprise me that they would focus on the shark attack rather than what happened in Australia, what the police were doing, their campaign of fear in Australia. Victoria Police said six officers required hospitalization. That doesn't mean that they were severely injured. It means that they took them there to have scripts. I don't know how severely they injured they were. I don't know how severely injured this 70-year-old lady was either. But, of course, Reuters won't talk about her injuries, will they? Most of the restrictions in Victoria, New South Wales, and Canberra are to remain until at least 70% of those 16 and older are fully vaccinated. I said this from the very beginning. I said they're going to lock us down. They're going to hold us hostage under house arrest until we take the vaccine. And that's essentially what we're seeing. It's exactly what we're seeing in Australia. It was extremely disappointing, said the Victoria Police, to see another example of a small minority of the community showing a complete disregard for the health and safety, not only of our police, but for each and every other Victorian. See, they're the villains, not the ones in uniform, not this guy. No, these people who showed up for their freedoms. So, you know, the cops are so polite that they want to save you from getting into a situation like this, so much so that they're going door to door in Australia to intimidate people about what they post on social media. Take a look at this.
All right.
Is there a reason why you're recording me today?
Yes, for my protection.
You think I'm going to assault you or something?
No.
That'd be a pretty good guess.
So, I don't understand why you're here, and
I haven't even spoken to you, and you think I'm going to do something to you?
Well, we have seen a lot of police violence in recent times towards the public, and okay, there is a growing...
That won't be happening.
There's a growing mistrust, as you can understand.
Okay. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
We're not here to do anything like that.
All right.
Go. We're from the government. We're here to help you.
We have instructions that you've been posting some things on social media that you
protest
on Tuesday.
There's no protest on Tuesday. There isn't.
Okay, that's fine. But what I'm here is to remind you to ensure that you need to stay at home in relation to COVID and stay-at-home orders. And if there is or is not a protest on Tuesday, regardless, you still can't leave and go to a protest of any sort.
I understand.
Yeah, I'm here to intimidate you. That's what I'm here for. Well, you know who's not being intimidated? And you know what's not being talked about? You can't find any information on it at all, except on social media. And that is the impact that the trucker strike is having. So it's not just the people. There's a lot of different ways you can push back against this tyranny. One of them, well, you saw, people taking to the streets. Another way is what the trucker strike is doing. As the person who tweeted this out said, it's crazy how the trucker's strike has turned Australia into Venezuela. And there is a total media blackout on it. Look at the pictures of the grocery store.
Look at Woolies in Hurstville.
It's unbelievable. There's nothing at all anywhere. No produce, nothing. Look at that.
Everything is empty. Literally empty. Hey, why is everything empty?
There's this strike in the supplier, and that's why we You don't get any medical at all.
Oh, he's a line supply.
Yeah, we're still waiting. I don't know. It's all together.
Wow. Well. That's crazy, man. Everything is gone. Nothing.
She's walking pretty fast. There's nothing anywhere.
Their trucks aren't coming in.
That's right. By design. In Toronto, we had tens of thousands of people, not just in Toronto, but New York and other places. A worldwide rally for freedom was what was happening on Saturday. You saw what happened in Australia. In Canada, we had people taking to the streets. Chants such as freedom, do not comply, no vax pass. In Canada, the protests come just days before a federal election that is set for today. And we'll see what happens with that. That's Trudeau, who is standing for election today. In New York City, you had several thousand people show up there at a freedom rally over the weekend. They shouted, "This is not political." New York City started enforcing COVID vaccine mandates a week ago, last Monday. They want to have vaccination cards, and they already began with the Nazis going around checking people's cards when they're in a restaurant, saying, "Well, we're not going to start issuing you fines yet, but, you know, just they're intimidating the restaurant owners." And then by the end of the week, we saw a black man thrown out of a restaurant for that. It's working. That intimidation is working there. Participants chanted in New York City, "My body, my choice, no vaccine passports, freedom over fear." At the rally in Times Square, people spoke about standing up for their rights and standing against tyranny. One speaker said, "The only thing that gathers us all together, different groups, different types, is our stand against tyranny. When they try to take our freedoms away, we stand." I've said this for the longest time. What they don't want us uniting about is to stand for liberty. For liberty. We should be for liberty, not so much against tyranny. We should be for liberty. Let's define liberty. Let's enshrine those protections again in law. Make sure they understand and respect what is already there. And we need to expand this as well. As one person put up a sign, "Worldwide rally for freedom. We're taking a stand for five important freedoms. The freedom of speech. The freedom of movement. The freedom of choice, the freedom of assembly, and the freedom of health." Now, interestingly enough, freedom of health and the freedom of movement are really the only two that are not there in the First Amendment. I mean, you could talk about freedom of choice. When you talk about freedom of health, freedom of choice, your ability to have make your own choices about medical care, that is key. And I would distinguish that against these people who were the phony pro-choicers, the people who now, for the most part, just like Leanna Wen, I had somebody send me an article that said, "Look at this. Tucker Carlson just pointed out that Leanna Wen was a former Planned Parenthood." Said to Karen, I said, "Who knew? I only talked about this for about a year. I guess maybe they are a listener. I don't know. They'd never heard me talk about Leanna Wen at Planned Parenthood." One of the most blatant examples of hypocrisy, demanding, you know, sticks, not carrots for people, demanding that everybody get a vaccine. This person and this organization that always talked about pro-choice, we always knew that was a lie. It is not your body, your choice when you're talking about a baby. It always has different DNA. The baby has different DNA than the mother does. And he or she, sometimes 50% of the time it's a he. Sometimes the baby is a she. Different sex, totally different DNA, and different blood type sometimes. So the freedom of choice, the freedom of health are two things. But freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, those are enshrined in the First Amendment. Of course, the other part of this as well is freedom of movement. That is a key thing that they're coming after. That has always been a part of the UN 2030 agenda, of the Great Reset, of the Agenda 21, all these things, is to take away our freedom of movement, to make sure that we're not able to move. And the way they do that is to take away your car. You know, we've been able to continue to move because they don't have the means to stop us as long as we have automobiles. And that's why they want to take away the automobiles. They're working on that. If they we don't have automobiles, private automobiles that we own, then they do have a choke point at the airports and at the train stations. So at the Times Square rally, one person said, don't use this as a political front. I don't care about Biden. I don't care about Trump. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care if you're black, yellow, white, or purple. I don't care if you're Christian, Muslim, gay, straight. I don't care. This is a human issue, and it should be bringing us all together. But see, there is a difference between what these different politicians and political parties are doing. Sometimes it's a distinction without a difference. But we need to focus, again, what he's saying is we've got to focus not on political parties, not on personalities. We need to focus on liberty. And that ought to be the yardstick by which we gauge each and every one of these politicians, even if it's somebody that we voted for initially. You hold them to account for what they said they're going to do. Mayoral candidate Bill Pepitone said, we have a president and a so-called mayor who are telling us that we can't go to work and we can't feed our family. And then he led the crowd to a chant, we will not comply. Speaker Kevin Jenkins said, this is about the very essence of what God gave us, and that is the power to be free. That's right. God gives us those basic human rights. We are created equal. We have those rights because we are human beings. They're human rights. They're not given to us by a government. We possess them by nature of our humanity. He compared the vaccine segregation to racial segregation in the 1960s. He said, 60 years ago, I couldn't walk into a restaurant because they said I was unclean. Now they're telling us that we are unclean again. Not just black people, not Latino people, but all of us. We have to unify beyond race, and we have to love each other as humans. When they tell you no to your humanity, you tell them no to their business. Mary Josephine Generoso, manager of the Pasticceria Rocco Bakery in Brooklyn, said that they will not be discriminating against their customers. The business has placed signs saying that they have a no-discrimination policy. Zoom in on that sign if you can, Travis. It says, we do not discriminate. They said, I heard de Blasio speak, and immediately we created that sign that said, we do not discriminate. And so what the sign says, there you go, thanks. We do not discriminate. Sex, gender, race, creed, age, vaccinated or unvaccinated. We do not discriminate. I'm taking this stance against the vaccine mandate because obviously it is completely discriminatory. It is forcing me to segregate customers based on a vaccine. Based on a vaccine. Now, Breitbart picks up the, I like this headline in a sense, but they missed the point. No vaccine rules for the big UN meeting. A free pass for world leaders. Yes, it does show their elitism, doesn't it? And that the rules do not apply to them. But don't focus only on that. Because even though I don't think the UN is a legitimate organization or one that we should be funding or staying in, it is an organization. And when you have Mayor de Blasio telling this political organization that they have to show that have to prove to his satisfaction that they're vaccinated. This is an example not only of elitism of a global elitist class, but it is also nullification if you stop and think about it. You know, what the UN is saying is, no, we've got our own rules, thank you. They said they have an honor system. Did you know that there was any honor at the UN? I didn't know that. I learned something. They have an honor system, which means that the dignitaries, they're not just ambassadors, of course, right? The ambassadors have immunity to all these types of things. Again, that's an issue of where the lines of authority are drawn. See, when anybody tells you, well, as a Christian, you just got to obey all authority or even submit to authority, right? There's a difference between obedience and submission, isn't there? But I'm not even talking about that. The real key issue is, who is the authority? Is it de Blasio? Is it these ambassadors who are recognized by federal law to have independence? Is it the UN? If somebody is there as a U.N. staffer, are they under the rules of the U.N.? Where are the lines of authority? It gets kind of messy, doesn't it? You actually have to think. Or you can just submit to everybody and everything, but you can't because you're getting different orders from different authorities. Right? DeSantis is going to hit you with a fine if you if you coerce your employees to get vaccinated. Biden will hit you with a fine if you do not coerce them to get vaccinated. So you can't even cower before all of these different masters. So you actually have to think for yourself. You actually have to say, well, which authority? I've got multiple people, and they're all over me, I think. Right? If you've got a viewpoint of the world that's this pyramid structure of authority, even that doesn't save you. So, the honor system means that the dignitaries, the staff, the ambassadors will not have to show any vaccination cards, no proof of inoculation. They just go to the UN. But this next example here from Reason Magazine is simply merely elitist hypocrisy. And this is the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, shown partying at a jazz club. Now, this is a very small jazz club. Take a look at this. I mean, people are close together. This is, like a church meeting or something, except it's not a church meeting. It's a jazz club. And so it's all different. Can't go to church, but you can do this, right? Alicia Garzer, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, was also there in attendance. Not a single person in that small jazz club wearing a mask. People are singing. People are singing as well. Breed is in good company. We have D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has repeatedly attended events while unmasked, including a birthday party and a wedding, despite her own orders forcing masks on citizens in a variety of unnecessary circumstances. We had Governor Newsom doing the same thing. He didn't pay a penalty for it, but it was one of the reasons that possibly he was brought up for a recall election, even though he dodged that bullet. Cuomo doing the same thing. Politician after politician doing whatever they wish. Yes, we've seen a lot of elitist hypocrisy, but we also need to understand that some of this is going to be about different lines of authority and about lesser magistrates. If you have a hierarchical view of this, I think it is really more about spheres of authority and understanding where the different spheres of authority are. We're going to be right back, and we're going to take a look at the Great Resistance. I've got a section here talking about how people are resisting this in a variety of ways. Not asking permission, but resisting. The Great Resistance. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
Turned around, and I
Yeah, and this is what this looked like as it was reprised by between 90,000 and 100,000 fans at the University of Florida football stadium this weekend. That's right, 90 to 100,000 football fans repeating Tom Petty's classic, I Won't Back Down, won't wear masks, won't do a lot of other things. Folks, we have the power to not back down. We have the power to not comply. We don't have to have a war with these people. They want one desperately with us. Do not take that bait, but do not back down. You go ahead, you live your life. It'd be nice if that many people were at a church, but of course they're at a football stadium. I used to have a pastor say, you know, these people can't make it to church, but they can go sit in the rain on a hard bench for a football game. They're outdoors, a lot of people, but they're singing. You know, we were told you don't sing in churches, and that was really, I think, the signal for a lot of churches that, all right, we understand what this is really about. We're not going to keep going down this path anymore. So they're singing, I Won't Back Down, a packed stadium against Alabama. They lost the game against Alabama, but they retained their respect. Despite the fact that some want you to live in fear forever, as the Daily Caller points out, football fans are refusing to do so. And I would say we also had probably millions of Christians over the weekend who were ignoring the demands of Fauci and the CDC and Bill Gates and the WHO and big pharmaceutical companies. They were meeting indoors without masks, without social distancing, and without vaccines, and they were singing as well. So it's not just that particular stadium, as Breitbart has collected it. They seem to be really interested in using the F word for headlines anymore. More F Joe Biden chants ring out at college football games. And so they've collected a bunch of these for your entertainment. You can listen to them. University of Kentucky, universities in Tennessee and Wyoming, and of course in Florida. They got a lot of those collections if you want to hear people angry at Joe Biden. You have Nigel Farage in the UK saying he will not obey any new lockdowns from Boris. He was not singing Tom Petty, but he had this to say. He predicted that there will be a lot of mass disobedience seen in Britain if the nominally conservative government attempts to impose another lockdown, saying that he would join the ranks of those who refuse to abide by government diktats. I will not be obeying the new rules, he told the Telegraph. If they want a lockdown again, I'm not interested, he said. I wasn't interested the first time. He said, I'm too old. I simply haven't got the time. This was a key thing at the very beginning. I recall a couple. They were in their 80s. They were in very good health. They were still mobile and going around. They said, look, we had a lot of plans, a lot of places we wanted to travel to and everything. I don't have the time to huddle in place. Let me decide what risks I want to take with my life. I don't have that much time. That's what Nigel Farage is saying. He says, I'm old. I don't have that much time to just wait around and waste my life. Let me say to you, you don't have the time to sit around and waste your life if you're a college kid. You shouldn't be kept out of association with other people, locked in your dorm room, locked out of college, expelled out of college, as they're now doing in many cases. You don't have the time for that. You don't have the time if you're a young adult to get kicked out of your job, to be banned from any travel. We don't have the time, folks, for any of this stuff. None of us knows how much time we've got. Do we have one more day? Do we have another decade? None of us knows. We don't have the time to waste. Time is a precious thing. He said, Nigel Farage said, I think we've been remarkably compliant for a long, long period. But I think over the last few months, we started to ignore what government says and the confusing rules, and just to start to make our own decisions. Let me tell you, they're rules that Boris Johnson is putting out to everybody. Their rules are as disorganized, as random, and as disheveled as his hair. It's Boris Johnson's hair. And frankly, they're harebrained schemes. Nigel Farage said the government's decision to allow children to overrule their parents represents the most communist action he's seen of any government in his lifetime. Quote, the idea that a 12-year-old can override their parents' wishes on a vaccine that gives very little protection to 12-year-olds, the idea that a conservative government, let's just say it's nominally conservative, they go by the conservative name, but they're not conserving any principles of Western civilization for the last 1,000 years. This is throwing away all of the principles that have been the basis for Western civilization. So there is nothing conservative about this. This is radically Marxist and authoritarian, radically authoritarian. There's nothing conservative about it. But the idea that a conservative government would throw out of the window any thoughts of parental rights or the role of the family in society, this is the state replacing the family, said Nigel Farage. This is the most communist thing I've ever seen done by any government in my lifetime in this country, and I'm absolutely appalled. And I've been appalled for 555 days. And I said, this is absolutely what has happened under Trump, absolutely the worst thing I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I know a little bit about history, too, and so I'd extend it back beyond my lifetime. The worst thing I've ever seen. To see somebody like Roger Stone going around in the wake of all this stuff telling people Trump was the best president ever just blows my mind. It's just pathetic, beyond belief. This pathetic partisanship for financial gain. Toddler masking Biden, writes Reason Magazine, says governors are, quote, playing politics with the lives of children. Yeah. The government is playing politics with the lives of children, but certainly not in the way that Biden is saying this. He was addressing a group of middle schoolers in Washington, D.C. I guess he wanted to talk to his mental peers, right? I hope our students can unlearn that politics doesn't have to be this way. They're growing up in an environment where they see it's like a war. It's like a bitter feud. Yes, it is a war, isn't it, Joe? It is a bitter feud and a war against the American people. And you're leading it right now. You're continuing it. This vaccine mandate for work, for school, for travel, this is war. This is a bitter feud. And don't ever buy into this. People go, well, yeah, I kind of see what you're saying about Trump, but, you know, Biden hates him so much, he's got to be good. No, no. They're two organized crime families. That's what the Democrats and Republicans are. Don't think for a minute that because you see the evil in one of them, that makes the other one better. They don't balance each other out. Not at all. He says, look, I'm so disappointed that particularly some Republican governors have been so cavalier with the health of these kids, so cavalier with the health of their communities. Let me tell you what cavalier is. That's enforcing kids who have no risk from the virus according to their own manipulated numbers. No risk. And you force them to take a vaccine for which they have very severe risks. He says, we're playing for real here. This isn't a game. That's right, it's not a game. It is a war. It is a bitter feud. Biden said, now, for any parent, it doesn't matter how low the risk of any illness is when it happens to your child. No, risk and benefits make all the difference in the world. As a matter of fact, I read you the statement by a pharmaceutical executive who wished to remain anonymous. And he said, all my life, what we do with every medication is we look at the risks and benefits. Every medication, as you well know, with all these Ask Your Doctor commercials on Fox News, on CNN, everywhere, has taken over, essentially, television. The pharmaceutical industry did with those Ask Your Doctor commercials that began in the 1990s under Clinton. But those Ask Your Doctor commercials, they always have all of these deleterious side effects that they list there while the little child is running through the field in slow motion with the flowers and the wind blowing, right? Side effects may include death, paralysis. It may exacerbate exactly what you're taking it for and on, right? But they're putting this out there as they're telling you there are risks, and they tell you that at the end of each one of these Ask Your Doctor commercials. Now, Rand Paul didn't tell you about the risks with Regeneron, but I'm assuming that it's 100% safe. There's absolutely no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Every drug has a risk profile. What they're telling you in these Ask Your Doctor commercials, what they're implying is the pharmaceutical companies say, we look at these products and we say, okay, here's the downside. There's always a downside. There's always a risk. And here's the benefits. And we try to weigh those two things, right? Except what does the government do? They completely ignore all of the that risk-benefit thing. What they've done is they put their hand on the scale. And they hide the risks of the things that they want to push on you. And they elevate the risks and hide the benefits of the things that they want to prohibit from you. Now, getting back to ethics, getting back to biblical principles, it is a biblical principle that God hates unequal scales. And he hates bribes. And let me tell you, that's what is involved here. Bribes from big pharmaceutical companies and an unequal scale when it comes to looking at the risks and benefits. And quite frankly, if I was going to write a vaccine, if I was going to write a religious objection thing, I would include that. I was going to say, you know what? I'm against this because of the transhumanism. I'm against it because of the precedent being set for the mark of the beast. I'm against it because it denies my care, and you know, I can't do this feeling good about this. So it makes me violate my conscience. But it also is something that I have to oppose on principle because it is an example of unequal risk and benefits and corruption. Now, they're going to throw that out. They'll say, well, now you're not talking about religion anymore, but that's just me. Scott Gottlieb, and who is this? This was the FDA commissioner for Trump, his first one. He went to Pfizer. He's now on the board of Pfizer, Scott Gottlieb. And he was on talk show yesterday, talking in one of the Sunday radio shows, CBS's Face the Nation. Trump's second FDA commissioner is now with Moderna. Well, actually, he's with the venture capital firm that funds Moderna. So he's kind of a banker pharmaceutical. That's the second guy, Han. Gottlieb, on this CBS Face the Nation, said, nobody knows the origins of the 6-foot social distancing recommendation. This is an article from The Hill. He told the host, Margaret Brennan, that the recommendation was arbitrary, saying the Biden administration asked the CDC to change its guidelines from 6 feet to 3 feet. See, it never ends. They keep escalating it. It's a boiling the frogs. It's nudging you, as Cass Sunstein said. It is the gradual imposition of tyranny. They want to sleepwalk you into slavery. He said, nobody knows where this came from. Most people assume the 6 feet of distance, the recommendations for keeping 6 feet apart, came out of some old studies related to the flu where droplets don't travel more than 6 feet. Well, that's not true. Do you remember the Drudge fear porn report? And how all last year there's, look at this. And they'd have pictures of somebody, you know, sneezing and says, look at this. It goes all over a Walmart even. It spreads everywhere. No. The problem is that this is arbitrary, as he pointed out. It's capricious. It's without science. And oh, by the way, these clowns at the CDC and the NIH and Fauci and President Trump and President Biden, they don't have the authority anyway to tell us to do this stuff. Whether or not it's true. And it's not. It's not science. It's just arbitrary numbers. So Gottlieb said that the CDC's initial social distancing recommendation was 10 feet. And the 6 feet was a compromise. And then the Biden administration wanted 3 feet. He said, but when it came to 3 feet, then they ultimately revised it from 6 to 3 feet. That was a study that they tried to change in the spring, but that was the point at which they pushed back. Essentially, it's like when Newsom said, all right, you keep 6 feet apart, you wear masks, you limit the number of people in the church building, but no singing. It's at that point, you say, all right, nonsense. This is just nonsense. When they say, well, 10 feet, 6 feet, 3 feet, no, we'll stop at that point. Bill Maurer, talking about the Met Gala, and he had the best take on this. Everybody's talking about, you know, the tax the rich gown that AOC had. Yeah, it's disgusting elitism. The fact that the person who made the gown has dodged taxes in several different jurisdictions. They're out after that person. You know, She didn't want to pay her taxes either, and she's probably pretty rich doing that. You have multiple ethics violations claimed against Occasional Cortex because there's something like a $35,000 fee to get into this place. Who paid that for her? Is that a campaign contribution? But I think the best take on the hypocrisy of this stuff is not about the tax the rich thing. It's what Bill Maher pointed out. He said, you look at this, and the only people wearing masks are the people who are the servers, the employees who are having to serve people, the waiters and the waitresses. He said, do the germs know who the good people are? Oh, that's the elitism that you see. And he said, I've seen this. I've been looking at pictures of the Met Gala. I've noticed something, having been out at a few parties since the pandemic began, and that is that the people going to the parties don't wear the masks, but the servers all have to wear masks. I mean, that just, he says, there's something about this that just is not liberal to me. I mean, these are supposed to be the liberal swells of the world. And if we're all vaccinated, and do the germs know who the good people are? It just seems a little wrong. He said, let's just make the help wear the masks. That's the liberal approach. Well, he's starting to catch on, isn't he? That is the liberal approach. You know, the little people, little hoi polloi out there. You know, the common man out there. Yeah, the common man. Yeah, it is not liberal in the sense, of course, liberals are not liberal in the sense of the traditional meaning of the word. Liberal used to mean somebody who was concerned about liberty. These people are not concerned about liberty. They're concerned about dominating other people. They're an elitist group that wants to dominate other people. And I got to say, it's not just at these parties. It's not just at the Met Gala. This is something that has been bothering me for over a year. We went to North Carolina to visit family last year. They were a lot more relaxed about the rules than they were here in Texas. And that's in a Democrat state. Because the people were not paying attention to the rulers. And then when we started coming back, we stopped in Tennessee. And most of the people on the street were not wearing masks. But the people who are working everywhere were wearing masks. And the people in North Carolina, when we stopped at a sandwich shop there, everybody was wearing masks. And it just was wrong. It's just wrong to abuse employees that way. But now we're at the point where it's like, okay, now you're not going to just wear the mask. We've dominated you, told you you have to wear a mask in order to have this minimum wage job for the last year. Now you're going to take the shot. How about that? And we're removing all your unemployment benefits at the same time. Does this make you angry? Boy, it makes me angry. And I'm not even in the thick of it. I'm angry for other people. What is happening to other people? These people just want war, don't they? But again, let's not take the bait exactly. Let's not give them exactly what they want. Let's resist it in the ways that they don't want as they try to kettle us into this system. As a matter of fact, how do we prepare for this? Doug Wilson clearly sees this. Canon Press, he's got a blog. You can find him at DougWills.com. 7 ways to prepare your family for what's coming. And, of course, Doug is a pastor, and so he understands that the key part of this is going to be your internal preparation. Many of us need a spine, and that includes a lot of Christians, a lot of spineless Christians. And now is the time you can start to grow that spine. He says these are not going to be the roaring 20s, but neither are they going to be the boring 20s. And neither yet, unless I miss my guess, are they going to be the soaring 20s. So he says, so let's hope for the best, prepare for the worst. So what do you do? He said, first of all, you need to deal with your personal sin. You need to learn to confess your sins to God honestly and forthrightly. He sees down to that sludge layer at the bottom of your heart anyway. So there's no use in trying to blow sunshine at him. Simply acknowledge it. Confess your sins. Forsake them. And he says, and he gives an example of why. He says, if you're not engaged in this, you're actually fighting for the other side. He says, let's take one example. If you got a secret porn stash, regardless of your ostensible politics, you are cheering on Biden and his minions. Stop rationalizing about that and just deal with it. All the lunacy that we are currently dealing with is all downstream from the sexual revolution. So deal with that in your own life. Secondly, minimize your encumbrances. We're told to run the race. We're told to prepare ourselves to do so by setting aside the weight that so easily entangles us. But he said, now may be the time to streamline your life. It's not because the current crisis that is on its way is a time to be lazy, but because you are freeing up available bandwidth so that you can protect your family more. Stock up on the word, he said. You're going to come to a time where, you know, you may wind up in a situation where you need to be able to call on that instantly, or you may not be able to have access to something where you can read it. So you store that up. He says, also meet regularly with God's unmasked people, he emphasizes unmasked people, to worship him. The longer this debacle of a crisis has gone on, the more and more obvious it is becoming that the Christian church has been played. And he says, as Chris Wiley recently mentioned to me, this has been an apocalypse. Do you know what an apocalypse is? It literally means an unveiling. It doesn't mean the end of everything. It means an unveiling. He says, ironically, the willingness of countless pastors and elders to shut down worship, to restrict numbers coming to worship, to require masks and or vaccinations in order to worship has been a true unveiling. So by putting the mask on, they have unveiled what is on the inside of them, right? Demanding that you put the mask on, I should say. And let me just say this, too. We're talking about the leadership. You know, I see people occasionally who still come to church. They will be wearing a mask. I don't think little of them. I understand the misinformation that is going around. I understand the fear that is going around. And I respect the fact that even though they are afraid enough that they would wear the mask, they are still there to worship God, and I honor that. I mean, that is courage in the face of the fear that has been instilled in them by CNN and Fox and the establishment media. And so I respect that. I don't hate them for that. I don't look down on them for that. I'd like for them to listen to the program, but I don't even walk over and hand them my card. I don't even have a card. The veiling has been an unveiling. Countless Christian parishioners have discovered that they were not being led by the men that they thought they were being led by. He said, I'd be willing to place a little gentlemanly wager on this. You could take an average congregation that's decided to mask up because of Romans 13. They all agreed that the governmental decrees were nonsense, and that they weren't scared of the virus, and that they were going to submit to it simply because of 1 Peter 2. And oh, by the way, as I pointed out the other day, that's where John MacArthur was, the middle of the summer. By the end of the summer, when the singing stuff came in, they pulled that off, to his credit. They understood, you know, that they're not bound to obey authority that is not legitimate. Anyway, so regardless of what he wrote 35 years ago, I would be willing to wager that at the end of the year, with that kind of submission, there would be a lot more fear running through the congregation than there was at the beginning. It might have people that look like this at the end of the year. That's what they're turning their people into. That little masked, mentally ill monster there. He said, when John MacArthur took his heroic stand against the state of California, how many of the evangelical cool kids lectured him about Romans 13? Oh, yeah, we had a lot. We had Andy Stanley, took the point, you know, there in Atlanta, son of Charles Stanley. Made a big point of criticizing John MacArthur for meeting in church in July. You still got people who, like Todd Friel, even though he's holding up the MacArthur book, he's technically criticizing him for meeting. Right? Because the government said so. But this is what Doug Wilson says. How many of the evangelical cool kids lectured him about Romans 13, about how he was not honoring Caesar the way that he should have been doing? But then there was a court case, and Caesar admitted that Caesar was wrong. Caesar said he was sorry and determined that MacArthur was not disobeying Romans 13, not even a little bit. And, oh, by the way, would $800,000 demonstrate sufficient sorrow and contrition? Since that time, How many of these evangelicals have apologized to MacArthur? No, we can, so it's got people out there holding up his commentary, holding up R.C. Sproul's commentary, saying, look at this, look at, you know, obey everything, right? No. He says, if they want to submit to Caesar, why don't they submit to Caesar in this? This is because they don't want to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, which would be biblical. Rather, and listen, they want to abdicate to Caesar. They want to abdicate to Caesar what flatly does not belong to Caesar. And then finally he says, do nothing that feeds your fears. He said, it'd be better to go into a time of trouble with true Christian confidence and no freeze-dried food than have a basement full of freeze-dried food that represented in a rather tangible way the sum of all your fears, right? In other words, prepare, but don't trust in your freeze-dried food. Don't make that your idol. Don't make that your security blanket. Because if you're a Christian, God will wipe that away from you in no time at all to make you rely on him. That's what I've seen in my life. Do not prepare for trouble in any way that will paralyze you. Hoarders and preppers are often susceptible to the temptation that says there is no conceivable way that we'll ever be on the offense. However, we should assume the posture of victors. We should be preparing in our hearts for that glorious moment after a fierce fight when we raise our flag at the top of a spiritual Iwo Jima, as G.K. Chesterton once put it. There is one taste of paradise on earth, which is to fight a losing battle and then not lose it. Or, as Aragon put it, men are better than gates. Men are better than gates. And by the way, folks, that includes Bill Gates. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
All right, and today, September the 20th, is the day that there is going to be the election in Canada. When Prime Minister Justin Trudeau gambled last month on a snap federal election, writes MSN.com. He believed that the dice were loaded in his favor. So now, as they point out in their headlines, he's going to be rolling the dice on the snap election in hopes that his gamble pays off. Well, let me just say, what is at stake in this election for many Canadians is whether or not you will be forced to play Russian roulette, that gamble. And it's not going to be simple Russian roulette. It's going to have several chambers loaded, not just one. He was flying high on relatively positive reviews of his government's handling of the pandemic. The press loved him. After initial blips, Canada was a world leader in vaccinations, and he was well ahead in the polls of his main rival, a rookie leader who was doubted by members of his own party and was virtually unknown to many Canadians. But O'Toole faces his own challenge. Many argue that he is a shape-shifting chameleon, willing to say anything to win. And a lot of those people would be people who are concerned about the lockdown. Many of those people, and I think they would be right to understand that he is nothing other than controlled opposition, another globalist chameleon. Because, as I pointed out to you last week, he's made, he's tried to double down on all of these lockdown measures. He absolutely has no principles that he will stand for. The person who is opposing him, they paint him as a radical extremist, but there is somebody in the election that has a commitment to liberty. Unfortunately, the conservatives are there as the controlled opposition to make sure that doesn't happen. You look at what is happening in Alberta with another conservative politician. This gives you an idea of what's going to happen with Aaron O'Toole. On child care, on gun control, on abortion, on climate change. He's doing something that I cannot do, said a former Liberal Prime Minister, Jean Chrétien. He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Now, that guy can't do it because he got Bell's palsy as a child, probably from a vaccine, as you see is happening, but it never came back for him. So he can't speak out of both sides of his mouth. But he's pointing out the flip-flopping hypocrisy of Aaron O'Toole, called a dud by fellow conservatives. And again, when you look at this, folks, we have to have people who are going to stand on principle. And if they're not going to stand on principle, the party labels simply don't matter. They simply don't matter. Trump, for example, is working to oust Mitch McConnell. Does that mean that one of them is good, the other one is bad? No, they're simply rivals. And as I have people writing me, stop criticizing Trump. He's not president. Do you miss him yet? Do you miss him yet? Do you realize that he's still very much active in politics? The fact that he's trying to get Mitch McConnell out? And I don't want Mitch McConnell in. I despise Mitch McConnell. If he succeeds, it'll be for his own selfish purposes. It will not be, we would benefit. It might be one of his better accomplishments if Trump is able to get Mitch McConnell out, but it will be for his own selfish purposes. Look at, for example, even Breitbart, still into this border thing. I don't talk about it because nobody's going to do anything about it, and that includes Abbott. Nobody's going to do anything about this stuff. They said, look, this is how it's done. Hungary releases footage of its walls, and it has guards and a wall to stop illegal immigrants. We saw the same thing in Greece, for example, right? They were able to, as soon as Afghanistan started collapsing, they were able to put guards on the border, put up some concertina wire and things like that. If there had been any political will from Trump, we could have done the same thing. As a matter of fact, I said from the very beginning, 2017, all right, you said you're going to protect the border and you're going to end the foreign wars. You got a chance to kill two birds with one stone. You bring the troops home from foreign borders where you're protecting the foreign borders, and you just put them on the border. That'll be far more effective than a wall. You don't need to get a wall there. They showed how they could put up temporary barriers very quickly in Kabul. You don't have people coming across the border yet who are doing suicide bombing. So you could easily protect the border with the same type of stuff that you threw up instantly at Kabul. But they didn't want to do that. The Pentagon is at war with America. And Trump did exactly what they told him to do. He betrayed us to the globalists. He betrayed us to Goldman Sachs and the bankers and to the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex. He did absolutely nothing about any of this stuff. So, yeah, that's how it's done. We can see it being done in Hungary and Greece and other places. Biden, meanwhile, has a multi-trillion-dollar spending plan. As LifeSite News points out correctly, it will devastate the economy, and it will devastate religious liberty. Let's take a look at the economy first. Costs are going to come close to $5 trillion. Do you understand a big part of the globalist plan is to make sure they bankrupt us so that we own nothing, so they own everything? Catherine Austin Fitz talks about that. It's always the bankers at the center of this. And, of course, as they pursue this policy of economic collapse, pumping us up into this massive bubble that is going to burst. Now they have plausible deniability. They can blame it on the virus. It's not them, it's the virus. No, they're the ones who destroyed the middle class. They're the ones who destroyed private property and contracts with their moratorium on foreclosures and evictions until they got massive balloon notes that are going to destroy middle class ownership of property. And so, yeah, $5 trillion, because this is all about bankrupting the world. This article says it all, basically, Reuters. Listen, the headline and the last sentence. Here's the headline. The world needs to spend another $100 trillion on the UN's fight against climate. And that's 10% of the global output directed to UN targets every year up until 2030. That should about do it. By that time, we'll own nothing. They will have completely bankrupted us. If they can get all the countries of the world to spend $100 trillion, and they're well on the way, you don't think they can do that? I mean, look at how things exploded last year, 2020. In 2019, you had the critics of Trump pointing out, look at this, he's not controlling spending. It's as bad as Obama. It's a little bit worse than Obama. We're looking at, in 2019, on the path that we're on, they said, in 2019, we're on the path to get to $900 billion. Nine-tenths of $1 trillion by the end of the year. And then with the vaccine, the fake pandemic coming in, Trump was able to blow that up to $6 trillion. So it went from something that we should have rightfully been alarmed at, $1 trillion in deficit spending in 2019. Jumped that up by a factor of six. Biden is only halfway through, and he's already matching that. And wants to go even farther. You don't think they can get $100 trillion? Because they don't have to limit it to $6 trillion a year. You know, they could easily multiply it by six another time, right? When you look at all the plans that all the Democrat candidates had, they ranged, you know, they had one plan after the other, trillions of dollars for each of them. The cumulative cost for each of these candidates was between $30 and $50 trillion. That's just for the U.S. alone. So easily we could get to $100 trillion. And where's that $1 trillion going to go? So the world needs to spend another $100 trillion on the U.N.'s agenda to fight global woes. Global woes. And then the last sentence says this. Among other leading financial companies involved in the initiative are BlackRock, J.P. Morgan, Bridgewater Associates, and Schroders. So you want to know where this money is going to be spent? You know who they're going to transfer your money to? Your debt? They're going to enslave your children and your grandchildren and your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. They're going to enslave them with debt to Blackwater, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, all these various banks. And it'll be not because of their greed. It'll be because, the virus or global warming or something else like that. And then it will trample religious freedom as well. A small section of the Senate infrastructure bill, titled the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, promises to devastate the liberties of American Christians and anyone else holding to a traditional biological understanding of human sexuality and gender. In the 3,000-page bill, it declares gender identity and sexual orientation to be federally protected classes, like race or disability. Quote, no individual in the United States may, on the basis of actual or perceived race, color, religion, national origin, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, or disability, be excluded from participation in any program or activity. Oh, wait a minute. We have religious beliefs, and we're excluding people from religious beliefs on all activities, according to Biden and Leanna Wynne and all these other people. You are to be excluded based on your religion. You're to be excluded based on your vaccination status. That's not in there. Oh, I couldn't find that. But do not exclude people based on their LGBT religion. This provision would severely undermine religious freedom in America, tacitly affirm the false message that sexual morality historically taught by Judaism, Christianity, Islam is all bigoted and akin to racism, said the Religious Freedom Institute. Rural faith-based colleges and universities, small faith-based businesses, and religious hospitals and medical clinics, folks, anybody that's got a religious belief, they're going to force you to betray that. The vaccine is just the beginning. The vaccine is just the beginning of the beast system. To kowtow to their mandates and their exclusion of your religious beliefs, for them to demonize and to persecute you for religious beliefs, this is just a part of it. The vaccine is one part of it. The LGBT laws that are coming out left and right are part of it. Now, how did this break down, Republican and Democrat? Well, all of the Democrats voted for this. So, you know, when you hear things about these conservative Democrats like Joe Manchin, you can forget about that. And then you had 19 Republicans in the Senate voted for this. And those Republicans include Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney. Also includes some senators who are up for re-election next year. Murkowski of Atlanta, of Alaska, Mike Crapo of Idaho, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, John Hoeven of North Dakota. With this legislation, the proverbial camel is in the tent. The LGBT agenda will only be limited to the wildest imagination of the most liberal judge, said the general counsel for the American Family Association. And when this happens, you can thank these 19 Republicans who created the roads and the bridges that could jeopardize religious liberty in the name of deviancy. So here are the 19 senators real quickly. We got Roy Blunt of Missouri, Richard Burr of North Carolina. By the way, both North Carolina senators signed on to this. This essentially the Equality Act that the that Pelosi and the Radical Democrats want. Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Susan Collins of Maine, Kevin Kramer of North Dakota, Mike Crapo of Idaho, Deb Fisher of Nebraska, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, protecting his LGBT creds, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, John Hoeven of North Dakota, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Rob Portman of Ohio, Jim Risk of Idaho, Mitt Romney, Utah, Dan Sullivan, Alaska, Tom Tillis, North Carolina, and Roger Wicker, Mississippi. Remember those names. And as we see the border exploding on people, I thought it was interesting that the local police, even as you had, you know, Fox News was using a drone and showing this massive chaos at the border, just absolute insanity in every way. You had the local police, when the FAA told Fox, you shut that drone down, the local police said, come on, we got a helicopter, we'll fly you over so you can take pictures. See, in a sense, that's the lesser magistrate exercising their power, isn't it? While Americans are being told they need to get vaccinated to have a job or to go to school or to travel, that they need to have their vaccine passport to go to a restaurant, illegal aliens are being encouraged to illegally invade our southern border, being told they don't have to take the jabs and they will get endless welfare. That's information liberation. Chris Minahan talking about that. And, of course, it's also the people coming in from Afghanistan. No mention about them getting a vaccine, but they get ivermectin. They say it's because of parasites. But, nevertheless, nobody is hectoring them about that being horse medication. Justice Clarence Thomas defends the high court. He says, we've got to be careful that we don't destroy our institutions. Well, I would just say, and even though I like Clarence Thomas, I think he's been one of the best justices for the last several years. It remains to be seen. I have some hope for one of the justices, but for Gorsuch, I don't have any hope for Kavanaugh or for Barrett. But Thomas has been good. Alito has been good. But if you want to know who's destroying your institution, Justice Thomas, look inside the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is being destroyed as an institution from within. The Supreme Court is its own worst enemy, like most of our institutions. That's why we're in the middle, by the way. Do you know the times that you live in? Do you know that you're in the middle of a fourth turning? Can you feel the heat? Do you understand the crisis, danger, opportunity? Yeah, it is an opportunity. This society, you know, right now we're in the middle of a fourth turning. And again, you go back, Strauss and Howe, their generational view of history, they've documented very well over 500 years of American and English history, an 80-year cycle, approximately 80 years, every four generations, you have institutions are clearly failing. You know, institutions have a life cycle as well. After a while, they become corrupt, they fail, and it's remade. So the question is not whether or not we're going to have new institutions. That is a given. We're in the middle right now of the meltdown, of the burn down of our current institutions. It's part of the life cycle. You know, just like you see the worm starting to, you know, attaches itself to the tree limb and builds a chrysalis. And you're wondering, what kind of a butterfly is going to come out of that? Well, that's already built into its DNA. But I tell you that we have something to say about what's going to be coming out. We can either shape this ourselves, or it will be shaped by the Davos World Economic Forum, by Bill Gates, by big pharmaceutical companies, by Republicans and Democrats at the federal and state level. Or we can have some say about this, but it's going to be reshaped. All these institutions are going to be redone, and they're being redone. They're being burning down and being redone right now. That's the time we're living in. It is usually accompanied by massive economic unrest, always by that, usually by war. The last one we had was World War II and the Great Depression. Prior to that, Civil War. Prior to that, the American Revolution. And they traced this back for 500 years. It's a well-established pattern. So when we talk about our institutions being destroyed, they're going through a life cycle thing, but it's being accelerated by the people inside these institutions. Clarence Thomas gave a speech at Notre Dame. He said, they think we make policy, criticizing the media. And that's kind of troubling, that he would lack that kind of self-awareness. The Supreme Court is creating policy. The Supreme Court is creating law. You've heard every one of these people, whether it was Clarence Thomas or whether it was Barrett, every single one of them will say Roe v. Wade is the law of the land. In their opinion, they are making law. That is not their prerogative to do that. He said, I think the media makes it sound as though you're always just going right to your own personal preferences. Well, actually, Justice Thomas, I've read Roe v. Wade. And that is exactly what it is. It is the preference of the liberal court that wrote it. He said, that's a problem. You're going to jeopardize faith in the legal institutions, the media, and the interest groups. Further that, he said, in a 1992 decision, they said in this article from Zero Hedge, Thomas was one of the four justices who would have overturned Roe v. Wade that extended abortion rights across the country. But the reality is that this is not even something that should be the prerogative of the Supreme Court. And you heard Barrett say in her confirmation hearings, we're not going to touch Roe v. Wade. It's the law of the land. It is the precedent. It is a very powerful precedent for them in terms of preserving their power that they usurped back with Marbury versus Madison. Now they've gone further. Roe v. Wade is a linchpin of that. You know, as we're talking about the Supreme Court, as we're talking about lesser magistrates, just think about the Dred Scott decision, one of the worst decisions of the Supreme Court. And they've had a lot of bad decisions. And that one, they said that if a slave escapes to a free state, then that slave needs to be returned. And yet when we talk about the power of the lesser magistrate, historically understand that in one particular case, an escaped slave that made it to Wisconsin, they had federal agents were dispatched to return that slave to slavery. And the local magistrates there, the lesser magistrates, if you will, arrested not the slave, they arrested the federal agents. That's the power of the lesser magistrate. That's the power of having principles. Hudson Mayer, as we're talking about this, tells the school board that They should resign over material suggesting that kids write about sex and about drinking. The Hudson mayor is asking all five school board members to resign or to face possible criminal charges over child pornography, he says. The mayor, Craig Schubert, made the statement during a Monday night Board of Education meeting after multiple parents complained about the content of some of the writing prompted in a book called 642 Things to Write About. This was given to high school students. Parents said there was a prompt that asked students to, quote, write a sex scene that you wouldn't show to your mom, and then another one said rewrite the sex scene into one that you would let your mom read. Another prompt asked students to drink beer. Remember, they're underage. These are high school students. And describe how it tastes. Parents said they felt these writings and others that were there were prompting kids to do things that were not appropriate. One speaker said he was appalled by the content, requested the cameras be put into classrooms so that parents could monitor what is being taught to their children. Another speaker said the material was disgusting, that it amounted to grooming. In a prepared statement, Superintendent Phil Herman said inappropriate and offensive writing prompts were part of a supplemental resource used in the high school senior level college prep plus writing sections. The district immediately determined the writing resource should not be in the hands of our students. We collected the books from the students enrolled in the courses. We did not exercise due diligence when we reviewed this resource. And as a result, we overlooked several prompts. And we feel terrible about this. Well, I think they can do better. I think they can resign. If they're not doing due diligence, they can resign. But even more importantly, we need to understand, as I've said before, this is yet another example of how conservatism is keeping us from having the kinds of institutional changes that we make. Did it occur to the parents they're talking about? We need to have cameras in the classroom so we can see what's going on. If you take your kids out of the school and you put them in your home, you know what's going on. You can control that. I just don't understand why people are still going down this path. And again, it is conservatism, the fact that we're going to keep these institutions no matter how badly they fail. You know, we had over the weekend, we had, as the Babylon Bee puts it, the FBI's rally in D.C. The FBI rally in D.C. ends without incident. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is disappointed by the low attendance of the D.C. rally that they organized for Trump supporters today. Greetings. Greetings, fellow Trumpers, said one FBI agent. Let's go insurrect the government, shall we, fellas? Maybe let's kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. What do you say, boys? Say, I sure do love racism. He was immediately tackled by three other FBI agents who dragged him to an unmarked van. That's not too far off of the truth. The truth is, at the Justice for J6 rally, police surrounded a masked man. And pulled him. Somebody told him, they said, he's armed with a firearm. So they surrounded him. And then he showed them where the gun was. And then he pulled out his badge. He was an undercover law enforcement officer. They're coming after each other. They're setting this thing up so extensively that they're coming after each other. There's so many FBI agents, they don't even know who the other FBI undercover agents are. That's how bad it is. Without disarming or handcuffing him, police extract him from the event. Here's what it looks like. Look at this. These guys are, you know, loaded for bear. They've got all this American Gladiator armor on and everything to beat people. They got shields and helmets, and they're all dressed up like Batman, you know? They got this guy. Are you undercover? The officers asked the masked man who gave them a badge. And one person says, well, I guess he's not undercover anymore. Yeah. Armed man detained, exposed as a higher resolution. As a matter of fact, Information Liberation has a higher resolution image of his badge. Imagine, says Information Liberation, imagine if we had all these officers protecting our southern border from the Haitian invasion taking place in Del Rio, Texas, not too far from here. We could solve the illegal immigration problem in a day if we had half as much protection, couldn't we? Yeah, it had mostly FBI agents and press. Not too many people fell for the sucker punch. They had several hundred press, hundreds of police, few dozen rally attendees, a couple of dozen counter-protesters. President Trump had said it was a trap. The main thing he was worried about was it was going to make him look weak because not too many people were going to show up. So he tried to talk that back. It would make him look bad. Yeah. He didn't have any problem running a trap on January the 6th, did he, with the Stop the Steal stuff. Oh, but, you know, well, now with this, we won't have too many people show up, and I'll look bad. That's all he cares about, how he looks and the money, $250 million from that Stop the Steal nonsense. Of the four arrests made, one of them was the undercover agent dressed in Antifa clothing. Let's talk a little bit about your technocratic serfdom that is coming here. We've got Tim Cook facing surprising employee unrest at Apple Computer. Lo and behold, they say that, like so many of these other people, Disney and others, you know, they're making unbelievable amounts of money, more money than corporations ever made in the history of mankind, and yet they're keeping it. Imagine that. It's greed or something? Where does this come from? Yeah, I'm not surprised, frankly. You know, when we had some economic issues at one point in time, I applied to work for Apple. I got hired as a genius. It's something that Thomas Drake did when he was one of the whistleblowers at NSA. He got kicked out. He's working as an Apple genius. They don't pay you anything. I mean, they work you pretty hard. Just before that happened, I found some other things to do. Fortunately, I never had to go work for them. But concerns over topics ranging from pay equity to whether the company should assert itself more on political matters like Texas's abortion law. They're just not liberal enough for these people, right? Yeah, it was Apple who later, it was after I had almost gone to work for them, that you had Tim Cook spending millions of dollars of his own money, which is just chump change to him, and then offering matching funds to employees who contributed to redefine marriage. And even in California, that failed. Even in California, with all that money, it failed. That's why you had the Supreme Court go in and redefine that. And that's why, you know, when we talk about failed institutions with Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court has done more to destroy families from both abortion as well, because that's a big family issue, right? Oh, yeah, the women can decide this without telling a man and that type of thing. I mean, that's really aborting, to some degree, the family as well. It's primarily, you know, we'd be concerned about the kids. A lot of the time, it's not even a marriage that's involved here. But what they have done with Roe v. Wade, with the homosexual marriage laws, the Supreme Court has done more to destroy the institution of marriage created by God. They should be disbanded just because of that. It's just disgusting to watch that institution. Anyway, getting back to our technocratic slavery, our serfdom. More than 500 people who attended, current former Apple employees, submitted accounts of verbal abuse, sexual harassment, retaliation, and discrimination at work. I imagine if you're a Christian, it's pretty heavy discrimination. At Disneyland, 25,000 employees are suing Disneyland for better pay. I imagine this is also, Disneyland is California. It's probably Disney World as well. I've had some people contacting me that work for Disney and other places besides the amusement parks talking about the push for vaccine mandates and things like that. But this is about pay and working conditions at the happiest place on earth. We feel like there's always somebody else that will fill our spot. We're just there, and they don't respect us. This person who said that worked at the Disneyland Hotel for 15 years as a valet, parking cars and assisting guests with their luggage. For all of those 15 years, he's earned minimum wage from Disney, and he supplemented his income with tips. Now, he just found out from leadership that they have new rules that are going to prevent valets from handling luggage. So he won't be able to get the tips. So valet will not be able to get tips, and so that's just cut that off. Now he's going to be working for minimum wage. One of 25,000 cast members, as Disneyland calls its employees, participating in a class action lawsuit against Disney that alleges the company is legally obligated to pay a living wage. Well, I guess not, because they don't do the vax mandate and other things like that. Matter of fact, when I worked for Busch Gardens for a summer with a band that was there, They had, it was an interesting situation. I felt my feelings about it were not critical of Busch Gardens, but more of the musicians union, which was a Teamsters union. They had, in the situation we were in, we rotated. We'd do a half-hour set with another band. So it would be a half-hour on, half-hour off, half-hour on, half-hour off. According to the union rules, you were supposed to do 45 minutes, and then you're supposed to be paid X amount per hour. And yet, they didn't pay that amount of money. And they wanted, even though we weren't working three-quarters of an hour, we were working half an hour, they wanted the pay to be the same. And because Busch Gardens said no, they blackballed them. And what they did, they couldn't punish Busch Gardens. What they did was they punished an accordion player who was working. There were some belly dancers. And it was, you know, live music is hard enough to get a job. And this guy, the only gig he could get was playing accordion for belly dancers. And so then they levied fines against him and did all that kind of stuff. They didn't punish Busch Gardens. They punished this guy. And if you looked at what we were making and you prorated it over the amount of time that we'd be working. So in other words, instead of working for 45 minutes, we worked for 30 minutes. And it was close enough to the wage that they wanted per hour that we were actually getting paid more for the 30 minutes that we worked than we would have if you'd said, well, we're working for 45 minutes in an hour. So I was not sympathetic to that, especially because the people who were running the Teamsters Union that was over the Musicians Union were making millions of dollars, personally, and the rest of this. But going back to Disney, you know, people work in those types of situations because, you know, it is a happy place to work. You know, it was fun working there for a summer. I'm sure it's nice working at Disney, but they just don't want to pay people. According to a survey, 5,000 cast members, many are experiencing difficult living conditions because of low pay. They said it is frustration, it is resentment that the company will not pay us a proper wage when they can afford to. But see, these are these large corporations making so much money, they are the ones who are rewriting the rules, restructuring everything to make sure that you own nothing. Because their greed is just unbounded. Just unbounded greed. When you see how the rules are being restructured everywhere, we have not just that, but Apple and Google are identified as, this is a article from the Wall Street Journal, talking, well, it's one from the Wall Street Journal talking about Facebook's monstrous empire, and then a report from Digital Journal talking about how Apple and Google are choke points of repression. This is nothing new. I mean, this is, here we are, 2021. This was out in the open 3 years ago, 2018. When we got, you know, they did that against InfoWars. It was, everybody knew that there was shadow banning that was going on. But then they did it to the applause of people left and right, Republican and Democrat. They made no bones about it. Now they're doing it all the time. It's called choke point repression. You see this now being done through banking services, being kicked off of PayPal and other things like that. That's which they did to us. It's happening everywhere. It's these corporations who have no limits on their greed and their quest for power. A global dominance of tech giants serves as a convenient online choke point for authoritarian governments to crack down on dissent or to rig elections, said critics of Apple and Google on Friday. This is not news, but a lot of people still don't understand that. And the reason they're getting away with this is because the left loves how they're cracking down on people. They believe that the end justifies the means, so they don't care that corporations that they've always hated, every aspect of corporations, the grassroots of the left, of course, the leaders of the left, have always been in bed with the corporations. But the grassroots have always hated corporations, but they love them because they're getting what they want right now. The right, on the other hand, you know, the conservatives, the libertarians, you know, they're caught up in this Ayn Rand vision, and they think that corporations can do no wrong. And that's fine. You know, these guys have won the competition somehow. They don't ask how they won. And now they get to rule the world. That's just the price. And we should all just fall in line. And nobody is pointing out the fact that this is a global governance that is going to be running through the multinational corporations. You want to talk about global government? Well, they're going to have the illusion of independent countries. They're going to keep that illusion, just like they keep the illusion that the president is somehow in charge of America. They're going to continue that illusion of nation states. But the global governance is going to run through the corporations. It already is. And they're already set up their choke points of repression. Real quickly, I want to talk a little bit about toxic medication. again, going back to the Babylon Bee, spot on. The CDC cautions against taking the red pill. We've seen a lot of people recommend taking the red pill, said CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, and we just have to remind everybody that the red pill is not approved by the FDA or any other governing body. It could spread ideas like freedom is a good thing, or you should think for yourself. And those are healthy American values. People might start getting the wrong idea if they take the red pill, said the CDC Director Walensky. She said the red pill is contagious. Just one person taking it could lead to more and more instances of people thinking outside the box of conventional opinion and questioning their leaders. Meanwhile, the FDA is rushing out an emergency approval process on a new, stronger blue pill to counteract the red pill crisis. Maybe we could call it the blue pill booster, right? But we have, as the White House is announcing plans to donate millions of COVID shots, Pfizer is dismissing these mysterious white particles that have been found in their vaccines in Japan. You know, Moderna didn't even have to say anything about the black things that were found in their vials, which I spell as V-I-L-E-S. They didn't have to say anything. They didn't have to make any explanation at all. We've had, I think it's four people who have died after taking these vaccines, but it may not be the contamination. It might be what is ordinarily in the vaccines. The black substances that were in the Moderna vaccines, they said they react. They interact with magnets. These white substances, there was no information that they were magnetic. Apparently, the vials containing the white floating matter all belonged to the same Pfizer vaccine lot. They were discovered in three different areas and can often number in the hundreds of thousands of jabs. In an exclusive scoop that was likely spoon-fed to its journalists, this is from Zero Hedge, that the administration is planning to buy, the Biden administration, planning to buy hundreds of millions of additional doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech jab to donate to less fortunate countries around the world. Some might say the administration's latest gift, quote-unquote, is merely a more transparent virtue signaling for the WHO. But as we look at these white substances, Pfizer's Japanese subsidiary said the material was likely ingredients that had not fully dissolved and wouldn't affect the safety or the performance of the vaccine. So there's nothing to worry about. Just move on. This is why they wanted protection against manufacturing defects, why they were demanding it and did not get it from Brazil, from Argentina, and a third country that anonymously reported the attempts to blackmail these sovereign governments to give them protection against negligence in manufacturing. But I just want to play a little bit for you the hearings that we had about the booster on Friday. 16-2, the scientific advisory panel decided that they did not want to approve booster shots. But they did subsequently say that they wanted to have booster shots for people who were above 65 and in frail condition. Because I guess, you know, they're looking at the Social Security liabilities that are coming up. That's one way to meet those. We can get rid of the older people. But here's some of the information that was given to the FDA about the issues of the vaccine safety issues.
Hi, I'm Steve Kirsch. I'm executive director of the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund. I have no conflicts. Advance to slide number 4 with the elephant. I'm going to focus my remarks today on the elephant in the room that nobody likes to talk about, that the vaccines kill more people than they save. Today, we focus almost exclusively on COVID death saves and vaccine efficacy because we were led to believe that the vaccines are perfectly safe. But this is simply not true. For example, there were 4 times as many heart attacks in the treatment group in the Pfizer 6-month trial report. That wasn't bad luck. Theirs shows heart attacks happen 71 times more often. following these vaccines compared to any other vaccine. In all, 20 people died who got the drug, 14 died who got the placebo. Few people noticed that. If the net all-cause mortality from the vaccines is negative, vaccines, boosters, and mandates are all nonsensical. This is the case today. Death rates. Let's slide number seven, advance to the number seven in the lower part. This shows that the all-cause death light rate in three cases. Only the VAERS numbers are statistically significant, but the other numbers are troubling. Even if the vaccines had 100% protection, it still means we killed two people to save one life. Four experts did analyses using completely different non-US data sources, and all of them came up with approximately the same number of excess vaccine-related deaths, about 411 deaths per million doses. That translates into 150,000 people have died. Next slide would be slide number 11, the nursing home. Now, the real numbers confirm that we kill more than we save, and I would love everyone to look at the Israel Ministry of Health data on the 90-plus-year-olds, where we went from a 94.4% vaccinated group to 82.9% vaccinated in the last 4 months. In the most optimistic scenario, it means that 50% of the vaccinated people died and 0% of unvaccinated people died. Unless you can explain that to the American public, you cannot approve the boosters.
All right. So as a result of that, he says we're killing two people for every person we save, if you look at these numbers. And the worst case scenario is in the nursing homes. So I say, all right. We're not going to approve the third booster shot for right now, but what we'll do is we'll approve it for the people in nursing homes, people, you know, over 65. What does that tell you about their agenda? A little bit more from this same meeting from the same doctor.
Slide number 16, please, myocarditis. The paper just posted yesterday on MedArchive entitled mRNA COVID-19 Vaccination and Development of CMR Confirmed Myopericarditis shows that the myopericarditis risk was 1 in 1,000. And that's an overall age range from 18 to 65, mean age of 33. It is not inconsistent with what the bear shows. Next slide would be slide number 18, gaming of the trial. It's pretty clear that the Pfizer trial results were gamed. It's statistically impossible for protocol violations to be 5 times higher in the treatment group. Why hasn't this been investigated? Slide number 19. Maddie DeGray was 12 when she enrolled in the Pfizer Phase 3 trial for kids. Now she's paralyzed for life. It wasn't reported by it in the Pfizer results. I told Janet Woodcock there was no investigation. Please tell us why this fraud was not investigated. And finally, slide number 20, please. Early treatments are a much better alternative to boosters. The proof is that in Israel, cases are at an all-time high. In India, Uttar Pradesh is now COVID-19 free as of today. Almost nobody there is vaccinated. Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we've seen epidemiologists compile reports from country after country showing essentially a zero death rate, or even if they had a death rate that went up, as soon as they introduced ivermectin, it went back down to zero again until they introduced the vaccines, and then it spiked up like a straight up. So, as I said before, I believe that the so-called Delta variant is a Delta farce meant to cover up what the vaccines are actually doing to people. Thousands of COVID-19 vaccine whistleblowers are contacting Project Veritas. This could be very good. Project Veritas has enough visibility, a large enough audience, that they are one of the best places to put this stuff out. I know they'll pay a price for that, but that's very important that they're getting that information out. We have the fully vaccinated accounting for 74% of COVID-19 deaths in the UK summer wave, according to the latest Public Health England report. And we have the FDA, as I began the program talking about the immorality of Regeneron and these vaccines. The FDA is saying it doesn't buy fetal tissue anymore. They got caught. And so we're not doing that anymore. No, just wait. They will. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.